interrupt our regularly scheduled programming to bring you Tri-Cities Prep Jaguar Sports Action on 100.7 FM KHSS. And now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brett Powers, on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and I come to you once again from the gravel pit here in Pasco, Edgar Brown Stadium. That's right, where the Jaguars are playing their final regular season game. This is the Northeast League, Southeast League crossover, where the Jaguars are hosting the Wildcats of Wilbur Crescent, who've come down from the north central section of the state to have their both teams. This is the final regular season game, and certainly on paper, it looks like it could be a contest of utility. The Jaguars, of course, are on technically a 9-game losing streak. They've gone 0-8 this year, and they lost the crossover last year to Davenport, so they've lost 9 in a row. The Wilbur Crescent Wildcats opened the season with a fairly convincing 47-12 victory over Mary Walker, but since then they've gone on a 7-game losing streak. They've lost to Davenport, Colfax, Lynn, Ritzville, Reard, Northwest Christian, Liberty, and they lost to Kettle Falls last week, which then set up this crossover game. The Jaguars, ironically, for only the second time this season, are playing a team with a losing record. The other team they played thus far with a losing record were the Irish, the Sales, in the Holy Bowl. So the Jaguars trying to end the season on an up note. Obviously, the playoffs are out of the question at this point, but they probably have one of their best opportunities to get that first check in the win column. They looked like they were going to get that in week 6 when they were going to play Enterprise, but then that game got canceled because the winless Outlaws had their equipment shed, including all of their uniforms and equipment, go up in flames the day before the Jaguars were to play them. So that opportunity for a win went out the window, so they're going to try again this evening against the Wildcats of Wilbur Crescent. We will be back. We'll have a brief review of the Wilbur Crescent offense, the starting lineups, and then, of course, we'll have the kickoff and all the action here as you're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
In the mid-1990s, when Tri-Cities Prep was still but a dream for many, the great Monsignor Desmond Dillon had a vision for the school. He said that he wanted Tri-Cities Prep to be a place where students can come to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Since welcoming its first students in 1998, these words have been woven into the fabric of Tri-Cities Prep, reminding us that, first and foremost, Tri-Cities Prep is a Catholic high school, a community of faith. To learn more, visit tcprep.org. That's tcprep.org.
This portion of the broadcast brought to you by Roach and Bishop Law Offices, located in Pasco, providing over 50 years of quality service in the practice of personal injury law, DUI defense, family law, estate planning, and probate. Roach and Bishop Law Offices, proud sponsors of Jaguar Athletics.
Some fast food restaurants serve what they call Mexican food. Why settle for second best when you can go to Taco John's, a real Mexican restaurant at 701 West Vineyard Avenue in Kennewick? Sometimes it might take a little longer at Taco John's, but it's always fresh, always delicious. Taco John's has a reputation for serving some of the finest Mexican food available. Located across from Kennewick High School, that's Taco John's, where there's a whole lot of Mexican going on.
Planning your will and health care directives can be an overwhelming experience. An attorney who specializes in these matters can ensure that you, your property, and your loved ones are taken care of in the best possible manner. For over 10 years, Richland's Mario Ledesma at Ledesma Law Offices on Jadwin Avenue has been helping families with estate planning, community property agreements, health care directives, wills, and transfer of property. He also specializes in discrimination and employment-related issues. Call Ledesma Law Offices at 946-1248. That's 946-1248.
Do you know someone outside our listening area who wants to hear the game? Now they can listen on the web at khssradio.com.
And we're back live here at Edgar Brown at the Gravel Pit, where your Tri-Cities Prep Jaguars are going to be hosting the Wilbur Crescent Wildcats here with kickoff in about 3 minutes. So both teams really playing for pride. Jaguars, of course, 0-8 this year, still trying to find their first strike in the win column. And the Wilbur Crescent Wildcats, they are 1-7. They opened the season with a win. They started out 1-0, and they beat Mary Walker convincingly, 47-12. But since then, it has been a long slide for them. They left the Davenport 30 to 12 at Colfax, 22 to 12 Lynn Ritzville, a perennial strong team in the Northeast League, beat them 41 to 8. They lost to Reardon 41-22. Northwest Christian 64-8. Showed no mercy on the Wildcats here. Liberty Spangle 36-17. And then last week at Wilbur, they lost to Cal Poly 31-15, resulting in the game you have tonight. Like I said, both these teams playing for pride. They're well out of the playoffs. There's no chance of them starting their postseason. But the Jaguars certainly, and this is, as I mentioned before we took the break, this is only the second time this season the Jaguars have played a team with a losing record. The Jaguar opponents all season have actually been very, with the exception of the Sales, they've been very, very strong playoff teams in all of their leagues, and the Jaguars keep running into buzzsaws week in and week out. Part of the difficulties the Jaguars have been having is they haven't been able to put together four sound quarters, and they're going to have even more of a challenge tonight is that they have four players in street clothes. They have Carter Riddle and Brennan Bentz are going to be on the sidelines, and Tony Van Hout, who is planning to start at safety, is out with an injury. As is, I can't believe it. Oh, that's right. Will Turi, the team's leading tackler from the linebacker slot. And they're getting a little bit worn down playing both sides of the ball. He is also going to be in street clothes tonight. So the Jaguars actually have had good luck with playing full strength. They're a little bit undermanned tonight against the Wildcats. Dan Winston only numbering up. He's only suiting up 18 players. And he will have three of them. He'll have eight of them playing both ways. So the bench will be a little bit thin.
Number 23.
And looking at starting lineup, the Wildcats are a little bit crusted, and they are starting a quarterback at 6'1", 185-pound senior, Dorian Yeager. They'll have a running back, a 5'8", 150-pound junior, in Kendall Cunningham. They'll also have a running back. They like a power running game, the Wildcats do, a 6'1", 175-pound junior, in Tucker Odegaard.
A junior.
And also in the backfield, a 5'10", 140-pound sophomore, Jason Townsend. They're tight end. I take it back now. Looking at the line, they have a 5'8", 190-pound junior, Cameron West, a 6'1", 215-pound junior, Jacob Marshall, a 6'2", 290-pound senior, Ethan Frazier. They are bringing some meat on the line. The 6'4", 260-pound senior, Dakota Epperson. A 5'8", 210-pound freshman, Cole Rossman. And finally, they also have a 6'1", 175-pound senior in Jacob Watkins. On defense, the Jaguars are going to be starting at defensive back, Cole Hyatt, 5'7", 130-pound freshman. At linebacker, a 5'10", 175-pound junior, and Gavin Baker. At defensive end, a 6'4", 170-pound senior, Bennett Peterson. Also a defensive back, a 5'9", 145-pound junior, Colin Dixon. He also will be the starting quarterback tonight. Then Gavin's brother, Derek, he will be a linebacker, a 5'7", 155-pound freshman. Also a defensive back and sometimes linebacker, a 5'2", 142-pound sophomore, Mario Valencia. He was also the game's leading rusher last week with 181 yards. The Jaguars had a good, they were able to run the ball last week against Wadesburg, and we'll talk about that a little bit later this evening. At middle linebacker, 5'10", 170-pound freshman, Colton Tinnen, and on the defensive line, a 5'9", 260-pound junior, Jesus Higuereta. At nose tackle, 65-pound sophomore, Kenny Ireland. Also on the line is 390-pound freshman Leo Schroeder. And finally, at defensive end, is 6'2", 175-pound junior Jacob Motto. Talking to Dan Whitson and breaking down their loss last week against Wadesburg, which if the Jaguars had won, they would have been in a Texas-style playoff game on Tuesday. If the Wadesburg Prescott coach confessed to Dan Whitson, said he had no answer for our offense. If we had stopped shooting ourselves in the foot, we had every reason to potentially win that game because the Cardinals had no answer for us. When we were clicking on offense, there was nothing they could do to stop us. With 10 seconds again, is a theme we've talked about repeatedly, about not making mistakes on offense and playing four complete quarters. Here is hoping that this evening against the Wildcats, the Jaguars can put those four quarters together and go home with their first and ultimately lone win of the season, what has got to be one of Dan Whitman's more frustrating campaigns now we have in the 11 years that he's been here. We're going to take a short break and be back with the kickoff after we have the Star Spangled Banner. We'll be back with the opening kickoff for Jaguar football. You're listening to Jaguar football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Yo, Uncle Louie, what's the matter? How you doing? Something wrong? Oh, not again. You got to take her down to Cugini's. You got to get some of them sandwiches. You got to get some of that homemade lasagna and homemade ravioli. You got to get some of that stuff they make down there. It's fantastic. You won't believe it. You take that home, you cook that up, you get some sausage, you get some salami. She won't know what to do. She'll be eating out of your hands. Uncle Louie, have I ever lied to you? This place is crazy good. Buonapazzo, 960 Wallula Avenue. Gabish.
KHSS has a long tradition of broadcasting high school sports to our Walla Walla and Tri-Cities listeners over the airwaves of 100.7 FM and worldwide over the Internet. Since the fall of 97, KHSS has broadcasted more than 1,000 DeSales High School athletic contests. This year, we are broadcasting Tri-Cities Prep Games, and we'd like to invite you to be a part of it. If you have a business and would like to sponsor our Tri-Cities Prep broadcast, or you know somebody who does, call us here at KHSS at 525-7878. That's 525-7878.
Canyon Lakes Golf Course is the Tri-Cities' highest rated and most popular golf course. Buy your 2016 yearly or Twilight membership and get the rest of this year free. Buy your 2016 VIP membership for $395, and it starts today. Start your monthly membership for $100, and they'll prorate your current month. For more information, go to CanyonLakesGolfCourse.com. Why play the rest when you can play the best? Canyon Lakes Golf Course.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
And we are back live here at the Gravel Pit, Edgar Brown Stadium, arguably probably the nicest stadium the Jaguars have played all year. The captains are about to head to midfield for the coin toss, so we'll take a few minutes here and review the Jaguars' last game against Waitsburg Prescott, also here at Edgar Brown. It was a 41-15 loss. Jaguars having had opportunities on offense and some opportunities on defense to keep that game close and potentially play their way into a Texas League playoff. What would have been this past Tuesday, but that was not to be, as the Jaguar offense still had some issues with tending to shoot themselves in the foot. Quarterback Colin Dixon had a good game. He did throw. Those two touchdowns were both via pass, but he also threw three picks, and two of those not only critically ended Jaguar drives that were very successful in marching deep into Waitsburg territory, but one of them resulted in a 12-point shift as the ball was picked off at about the 25-yard line and returned for a pick six. That running back's name, I hate to say it, escapes me, but he was responsible out of Waitsburg's 45 points. He was responsible for 31 of those team's points, and eight of them came on that particular exchange, the pick six, and then he proceeded to actually get the two-point conversion after the touchdown as well. If Jaguars had been able to contain that running back both on offense, obviously not allowing the pick six as well, but also on special teams, in that the running back also had a 60-yard punt return for a touchdown. If the Jaguars had been able to contain, it could potentially have been a different story. Waitsburg has been something of Dan Whitman's kryptonite for the past 5 years. I don't believe the Jaguars ever did manage to get off the schneid when it comes to Waitsburg since we've moved up to the 11. Waitsburg has had our number every single year, whereas the Jaguars have been able to manage every other team in the 11, including DeSales, winning the Holy Bowl last year. Here at Edgar Brown. This year's Holy Bowl, of course, was at Ty Bathney Field, and the Irish prevailed in that game, although they did fall behind in the first quarter. They beat the Jaguars 34-13. Jaguars' closest opportunity for a win up to this point, with the exception of that who knows what could have happened Enterprise game, was on October 2nd, when they traveled to Umatilla, and they actually led 21-20 at halftime, and led for the bulk of the third and fourth quarter, but then Umatilla scored late in the fourth to take a 28-20 lead. The Jaguars then scored what could have been the tying touchdown, but the point after the kick actually went wide, and here we are, the Jaguars owner of an 8-game losing streak now facing the Wilbur Creston Wildcats, who are also the owners of a 7-game losing streak, and obviously both teams not only playing for pride, but both of them, I'm sure, have a heavy vested interest in putting an end to these losing streaks and go into next season with a little bit of momentum on their side. Tri-Cities Prep has won the toss. They're going to be defending the left side of the field as we sit looking down from the press box. So the Jaguars in their navy blue tops and gold trousers will be moving from left to right. Wilbur Creston has black trousers with blue outlines and white jerseys. They're going to be moving from right to left. Dakota Epperson is going to kick off, and he kicks a daisy scorcher that ends up being gathered in by Mario Valencia at about the 14. He's up to the 20, 25, found the team 30. And then he got hauled down right about the 34-yard line. So Mario having a ton of return business last week against Waitsburg is taking care of business, at least for starters here. He gathered that ball in at about the 16. Returns at the 34, call it an 18-yard return. And the Jaguars will come out in their pro set once again. They have Colin Dixon in shotgun. He'll have Mario Valencia next to him on the left. The Jaguars show one receiver wide to either side. Dixon takes a snap, drops back, looks to pass. Looks right, now it's left, now throws left again. He's got Hogan Jones with the 40. And Jones shoves over his defender, goes past the 45. It's stiff arm and just pancaked him, getting it down to the 46. So Jones, who is somewhat of a little-used receiver, gets the first pass of the day. That's good for 12 yards and a Jaguar first down. You got that stiff arm. You just flattened that defensive back. Might have been tackled short of the first down, but as it is, it's a 12-yard gain. And the Jaguars now come out to their own 46. Dixon has Valencia this time to the right of him. And the handoff is to Valencia. He wants to run up left tackle. He finds the seam midfield. And he breaks the first tackle. He gets all the way down to the 45 before he gets yanked down to number 64. They're going to say that the ball was fumbled on that play. And Ethan Frazier, the man who tackled Valencia, also picked up the fumble. So on the second play from scrimmage, we have a fumble. Not a good way to start the first possession. And the Jaguars turn the ball over, although they had two very good plays from scrimmage. Valencia, Frazier, just reached out and grabbed the ball, and Bubba went flying with him, and then the ball finally went flying out. Frazier was doing everything he could to drag that ball out. The Wildcats come out in a double wing. The left wing goes into motion. Instead, the handoff is to the running back, who gets through the first echelon and gets almost up to midfield. That running back, I want to say, is Kendall Cunningham. I did not get a good picture of the number. Your quarterback is Dorian Jaeger. He typically is under center. I believe that was Cunningham with that. It amounted to a five-yard run. So second and five from the Wilbur Creston 49. They come out in the double wing again. And this time Jaeger wants to throw. He's back to pass. Now the pocket collapses. He's scrambling to the right. Now he throws, and he wanted, down at about the 35-yard line, he wanted Cunningham, who was running towards the ball at about the 30, but Jaeger threw it too, led him too far. Cunningham was unable to bring the ball in, so that's incomplete. And the Wildcats face a third and five. Jaguars tried to collapse the pocket on Jaeger, but he was able to scramble to the right. You get the feeling that, and Dan Witsa told me, that Wilbur Creston isn't much of a passing team. So on the run, the Jaguars have the advantage in the situation. They come out again in the double wing. Cunningham is going to be behind Jaeger, who's under center. There's one right receiver split wide to either side, and Jaeger's going to keep it and try and go off tackle, and he really doesn't get much of anywhere. The line collapsed on him in a hurry, and he got past the field, but just barely. We'll call out a gain of two. So fourth and three from the Tri-Cities Prep 49. Jaeger is waiting for the play to come in, so expect the Wildcats to go for it here on 4th and 4. So here's an early gut check for the Jaguars. They fumbled away their first possession, and now they have the Wildcats out of 4th and 4 on the 49-yard line. Jaeger under center. He'll have Cunningham behind him. Double wing formation in front. One of the wings goes into motion, and the sweep is to the wing. That's Cunningham. He's going to try and turn the corner. He's going to get dropped behind the line of scrimmage. The pursuit down the line was really strong. Derek Baker stuck with it, dropped him for a loss of one. And more importantly, the Wildcats are going to turn the ball over on down. So, despite that opening fumble on only the second play of the game, the Jaguar defense holds, and they're going to get the ball at midfield and try again here against this Wolvercreston defense. The line just strung things out. Cunningham was trying to turn the corner, and Zarek Baker slammed the door on him, and here are the Jaguars from midfield. Dixon will have Valencia next to him on the left, and the handoff is to Isdluck. Valencia finds the hole. Midfield 45. Down to the 40, then gets dragged down from behind, I believe, by Ethan Tesh. Nope, I take that back. That's Cunningham who dragged him down, but not before Bubba exploited the seam in the line and burst forward 13 yards down to the 37-yard line, and again, it's first down, Jaguars. Bubba already with 23 yards on two carries, and he had over 180 last week against Waitsburg. Jaguars would love to see him have another day like that. Valencia's going to be to the left of Dixon this time. Amato's back, set back at tight end. The handoff is to Bubba. He tries to run off right tackle, but this time things close down on him in a hurry, and there's really no gain on the play. They're going to say he got to the original line of scrimmage. So second and 10. Bennett Peterson now coming in with the play from Coach Dan Witsit. And the Jaguars are going to break out. Jones will be split out to the left, Peterson to the right. Valencia's going to line up to the left of Dixon, who, again, is always going to be in shotgun unless said otherwise. Dixon takes a snap. He wants to pass. He's looking down the middle. Now he's looking right. Now he's throwing right, and it's going to be short. Oh, my goodness. That ball was underthrown, and Gavin Baker went up to gather it in at the 20-yard line, and he did gather it in, but his feet came down out of bounds. That would have been good for a good 17-yard gain, but Dixon led him a little bit too far. I'll tell you what, Baker had a jump ball with the Wolvercreston defender on that, and he won that. It's just too bad it was out of bounds. Valencia will line up to the right of Dixon. Peterson's going to be on the right. Jones is going to be on the left. And Dixon's going to keep it. He wants to run up left tackle, 35-30. And he runs into some traffic, gets past the 30, then gets thrown down all the way down to the 26. That's going to be good for 11 yards, and the Tri-Cities prep first down. This is the second time Wolvercreston, their tackling seems to be to grab, twist, and throw when tackling, which is effective, but it does give additional yards to the ball carrier. They did it with Valencia on the second play from scrimmage, and they did it there with Dixon. That gave him an additional 2 or 3 yards, enough for that first down. Valencia's going to line up far to the left of Dixon on this play. First and 10 from the 26. Dixon's rolling left. Now he's in trouble. He's getting caught behind the line of scrimmage. Then he gets to the 30 and throws it downfield to about the 20, but the ball is going to fall incomplete. He wanted... Well, my numbers do not add up. They're going to say he wanted Tony Van Hout, but I know... No, that wasn't Tony Van Hout. That was Jacob Amato. Passes 10 for Jacob Amato. Dixon was in quite a bit of trouble. He was having to run to the left and throw under pressure across his body. That's not the easiest pass for him to make. So the ball falls incomplete. Second and 10 from the Wolvercreston 26. Two wide receivers split to the left now. Valencia is going to be on the left of Dixon. And as they start the play, the flags come flying and the play is blown dead. And this is going to be another one of those movement penalties against the Jaguars, which has killed them the last 2 weeks. The illegal procedure against the Jaguars. So that, I believe, is a 5-yard penalty. It'll bring the ball back to the 31, and the Jaguars will try again from there. So instead of a 2nd and 10 from the 26, we now have a 2nd and 15 from the 31. Witsit sends Dixon out with the play this time. And this time the Jaguars again have two wide receivers. This time it's split to the right. Valencia is going to be to the right of Dixon. And the snap is too high, and it bounces on the ground. Dixon managed to gather it up. He's trying to get back to it. Get down to 40, down to the 30, now down to the 25 before he's brought down. Colin Dixon with a broken play. He had to gather in a bounce snap and got chased all the way back to the 40, but he comes charging back down to 26. A lot of running. Now check that, 24. So that ultimately was a 7-yard gain from Dixon, which gives the Jaguars now a 3rd and 8 from the Wilbur 24-yard line. Two wide receivers split to the left. Valencia's lining up to the left of Dixon. Ball's on the right hash. Hand off to Valencia. Wants to run up the right tackle. Waits for it open. Finds the opening. Gets inside the 20 and down to the 19 before he gets bounced down by Dorian Yeager. Gain of 5 for Bubba on that play. It'll get the Jaguars 4th and 3. They're at the 23. They need to get just past. I checked that. They're at the 19. And they need to get just past the 16. So call it 4th and 3. It's a little bit of a long 3. And the Jaguars are showing a field goal formation here. They're bringing out Zerick Baker to the hole, and Hogan Jones is going to line up to try what appears to be a 37-yard field goal, which would be slightly longer than his season long. And now we have a timeout called by Dan Whitsitt. He didn't get the defensive formation against Wilbur that he was looking for. So it's 6:52 to go. We'll take a break. There's no score here from Edgar Brown. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
So what can you find at a Catholic Supply Company? A lot. School uniforms, books, gifts, cards, artwork, school curricula for parochial schools and homeschools, vestments, liturgical books, missals, and people who dearly love the Catholic faith. With their buying power, Blessed on First Catholic Supply Company will be able to save parishes and Catholic schools some money, and individual parishioners as well. Come see us at Blessed on First, 120 West 1st Avenue, Kennewick.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
4th and 3 here at Edgar Brown for the Jaguars at the Wilbur 19-yard line. And Dan Whitsitt brought the field goal unit out. And as they were about to line up for the snap, he then called timeout. I know Dan Whitsitt is somewhat of a fan of running fakes. And I think he was looking for a particular formation and did not get it. And now after the timeout, the Jaguars come back out, and again, they are showing a field goal formation. This would be about a 38-yarder, which is about the limit of Jones's range. Zerick Baker with the hold, and they have the ball down, and the kick is up, and it is going to be off to the left. Hogan hooks that thing a little bit too far off to the left, so the field goal attempt ends up being no good. And for two possessions, the Jaguars have, let's see, now that's 12:36. I'll talk like my dad. They have 48 yards, but no points to show for it. And the Wildcats now will take the ball over on their 20. Wilbur not having any success really moving the ball against the Jaguars on their first possession. Let's see if the Jaguar defense can hold stiff again. This time they come, now they're still coming out in that double wing formation. I believe that it's Cunningham at running back, and the handoff is it to Cunningham? It's difficult to tell. They're starting from the 20, and he managed to miss initial contact. No, it was actually Yeager himself. It was a quarterback keeper. And there was some shenanigans with regards to who actually held the ball, and that allowed Yeager to sneak up to the 25 and then fall forward to the 27 for a gain of 7. It's a 2nd and 3 for Wilbur from their own 23. Yeager will come out. He will have, it looks like he has Cunningham behind him, and then he has the two wing backs on either side of him. Yeager wants to throw. He wants to throw a screen to the right, but sadly overthrows his intended receiver, Jacob Watkins. That was obviously a designed play, but Dan Whitsitt said Wilbur's not much of a throwing team, and they showed it there. A number of the quarterbacks that we've played in the past notably DeSales and Waitsburg. They throw those screens. They hit them right on the button. And Watkins was wide open. Their Jagger had every opportunity to hit him. He just, that ball sailed on him. Call it the yips, call it nerves, whatever you wish. The result's down to 3rd and 3. Jagger under center again. Cunningham behind him. Two wing backs, two wide receivers. One running back goes into motion, and then the handoff is to Cunningham, who gets met pretty much right away at point of contact. I take that back. That's not Cunningham. That's Aaron McDowell. They are going to say that he managed to squeak there. Actually going to give him 2 yards on that play. So now Wilbur has a decision to make. They have a 4th and 1, but from their 29-yard line, and there is an exchange of personnel. It's a long one. And the Wildcats are showing punt. They have Dakota Epperson, a 260-pound senior, back to punt. He's also their place kicker. He takes the snap, and he wants to punt, and he does. And it's a wobbly end-over-end kick. It's gathered in by Dixon at the 35. He's trying to turn up the middle of the field, 45. Trying to turn the corner under pursuit. Does turn the corner. Gets to midfield. Then gets chased out of bounds at about the Wilbur. Goodness gracious. Side judge is saying the 41. I saw him go out about the 46. They're saying he went out at the 43. So, shows how much I know. So the Jaguar defense holding their own against Wilbur. Wilbur twice now with a 3 and out. They only have 15 yards total offense. The Jaguars now, the third time having the ball, see if they can't punch it in now on a relatively short field. They have a fumble and then a failed field goal. The handoff is to Valencia. He waits for the opening, and he's going to ramble. He's at the 45, cuts down to the 35. Now he's going to get jersey tackled, and they're having a hard time dragging him down. He got all the way to the 35. Someone got a hold of his jersey. He just started yanking back. They give Bubba forward progress to the 35. That'll be good for 8 yards. Bubba Valencia, Mario, has really picked up as a runner the past 2 or 3 weeks, and he's really developed the eyes for the hole. He's been able to wait for the line to open the hole for him and then for him to see it and explode into it, and it's really it's promoted his growth as a running back. He's lined up to the right of Dixon. One wide receiver to either side. Dixon's going to keep it. He's to the 45. He almost gets tripped up. Now he's going to get hauled down about the 32. He keeps getting shoved back, but they give him forward progress after a gain of 3. That should be good enough for, again, it is. It's enough for that first down. Colin Dixon, I feel, sometimes I watch him run, and he gets a little bit happy feet. Particularly once he gets in the line, he starts dancing around, and I sometimes get the feeling he needs to focus more on running downhill than trying to run laterally. Valencia will line up to the left of Dixon. Colin in shotgun. He takes a snap. He's looking back to pass. He's looking right, looking middle. Now he's looking middle again, and he has a man wide open. That's Hogan Jones. The ball was slightly underthrown and got broken up by Jason Townsend. And then I want to say Cody Drager, if I have the number correct, was also back there and almost made a play on that tipped ball, turning it into an interception. Fortunately, this ball is incomplete. And Colin is 1 for 2 now for 12 yards. And the Jaguars have a 2nd and 10 from the Wilbur 32-yard line. Valencia will line up again to the left of Dixon. One wide receiver split wide to either side. Dixon takes a snap. The handoff is to Valencia. He's looking for the opening. Now he turns up field 30. Gets inside the 30, then gets hauled down from behind by Dakota Epperson. But not before Bubba picked up a good 4 yards down to the 28. Leaving the Jaguars with a 3rd and 6. They have to get down to the Wilbur 22-yard line. I did say 28-yard line? Yeah. 4 yards for Bubba on that carry. Peterson's going to line up to the right. Jones is going to line up to the left. Valencia will also line up to the right of Dixon. Dixon from shotgun takes a high snap. It's going to bounce around. He picks it up again. Now he's in trouble again. Trying to run upfield, and he's going to get caught well behind the line of scrimmage. He's going to get tackled at about the 40-yard line. That's the second bad snap we've seen, and Dan Whitsitt is pacing the sidelines like a caged cat, like a large jaguar, if you like. He clearly was not happy without that play held up. You're ultimately going to call that a sack at the 12-yard loss. Jaguars had been at the 28. Now they're all the way back to the Wilbur 40. They have got to get to the Wilbur 17. So this is 4th and 23 to get a first down. Valencia will line up to the right of Dixon. One wide receiver split wide to either side. That's Peterson and Jones. A handoff. And Dixon is immediately going to get under pressure, and he's going to get sacked. He's going to get hauled down behind the line of scrimmage, this time by Jacob Watson. No, check that. It's not Jacob Watson. That's Ethan Frazier. And the Jaguars are going to turn the ball over on downs after having gone in reverse. They got all the way down to the Wilbur 32-yard line, but then they go so far in reverse that actually the net gain in that possession is minus 3 yards. Three possessions, three which you would call suboptimal results, and the Jaguars unable to fully punch things in against the Wildcats. Wilbur now with their third possession, trying to get their first down with 2:07 to go here first quarter. Again, no score. Jaeger's under center. He'll have Cunningham behind him and the two wingbacks and two wide receivers. One of the wingbacks goes into motion, and it's a delayed handoff to number 18, who breaks through the first echelon. That's Tucker Odegaard. He gets past midfield down into prep territory at the 47-yard line. That's a gain of 7. And second and very short 3 now for Wilbur in prep territory. Jaeger under center, I believe, is going to have McDowell behind him. One wingback goes into motion. The handoff is to McDowell, runs into his own man. Now turns the right-hand corner. Now he's going to get enveloped right about the third 45-yard line, and he will fall forward enough for 3 yards, and Wilbur will get their first down of the evening. And, yeah, thank you. The referee signals first down. It's like, dude, I can see it from here. You don't need to call for a measurement. He seemed to delay for a minute. But it is a Wilbur first down. And if the Jaguars may be able to take advantage of McDowell running into his own man, they could have had a 3-yard loss on that play and driven the Wildcats back to midfield. But instead, first and 10, Wilbur from the prep 44-yard line. No score, under a minute to go here, first quarter. Jaeger under center. He'll have McDowell behind him. There's a single back, two wide receivers. Now the wing back's in motion. The handoff, nope. Jaeger's going to keep it. He's drawn off left tackle, and he's down well into the secondary, past the 35, past the 30, down to the 28-yard line. The Jaguars were keying on McDowell, and that left Jaeger, for whatever reason, just wide open, throwing off a gaping hole off left tackle, down for 16 yards, and another Wilbur first down, this time deeper in prep territory. They are down to the Jaguar 28-yard line. The Jaguars at one point got down to the Wilbur 26-yard line. That's as deep as either team has been this evening. 26 seconds to go here, first quarter. This may well be the last play of the quarter. Jaeger going to be under center. McDowell again behind him. There's a single wing back to the left. That wing back goes into motion. And it's going to be Jaeger again off of left tackle. And this time they run the same play. This time the Jaguars did not fall for it. Bennett Peterson's going to bring him down. But credit Kenny Ireland with first contact. And they're barely going to give him a gain of 1 on the play. And that will be the last play of the first quarter, with Wilbur with the ball and a 2nd and 9 from the Jaguar 23-yard line when we return with no score here for the second quarter from Edgar Brown. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Fall is now here, which means the weather's caught somewhere between winter and summer. But even as temperatures change outside, your comfort doesn't have to, because a new Lennox heating and cooling system from Campbell & Company preserves your comfort all year long. Right now, you can enjoy a rebate of up to $1,700 with the purchase of a qualifying new Lennox heating and cooling system. Go to TrustCampbell.com for details. Campbell & Company, trusted home comfort solutions for over 30 years.
Ideal Jewelry and Boutique in Richland carries boutique items such as clothing, purses, scarves, hats, jewelry, and more. Owner Tammy Davenport has designed many of the jewelry pieces herself, making them unique and one-of-a-kind, yet affordable. They also have a beautiful collection of handmade rosaries that you have to hold in your hand to fully appreciate. And 100% of the rosary proceeds goes to KHSS Catholic Radio. Visit Ideal Jewelry and Boutique at 1950 Keene Road, Q1, Richland, or call 366-1873.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
Starting the second quarter here from Edgar Brown, and it is no score between the 0-8 Tri-City Prep Jaguars and 1-7 Wilbur Creston Wildcats. Wilbur with the ball. They have a 2nd and 9 from the Jaguar 27-yard line. This is the first time the Wildcats have been able to get their offense out of first gear. They went 3 and out their first two possessions. Tail of the tape for the first quarter. Total yards, Prep 46, Wilbur 44. If the Jaguars hadn't thrown things into reverse in their last possession, getting down to the 28, but then losing 17 yards, that would look slightly different. Jagger is going to be under center. He'll have two wingbacks with McDowell behind him. Two wide receivers split to the left. One of the wingbacks goes in motion. The handoff is not to McDowell. It is to one of the right wingbacks. That's Tucker Odegaard. And he gains close to 10 yards. He gets down to the Jaguar 18-yard line. The Jaguars starting to fall for some of the misdirection that this double wing running offense is presenting. So look for Dan Witz to be making some defense, calling for his defense to be making some adjustments here. 1st and 10, Wilbur from the Jaguar 18-yard line. First time either team standing in the red zone. Jagger under center, McDowell behind him. The two wingbacks, two wide receivers split to the left, and the handoff is to the second wingback, who is going to get to about the 15 before he gets dragged back, and a late flag comes flying in. You hate to see that because that's an indication of, no, it's not a face mask. It's going to be holding against Wilbur. So the handoff was to Odegaard again, and he managed to get 3 yards out of that, but that's going to come back because of holding on the Wildcats. On offense, the Jaguars had some success in the first quarter. Their difficulty is that when they got deeper into the red zone, towards the red zone, they were unable to move the ball. And then on their last possession, they proceeded to either penalize or bad snap their way into serious trouble. So Wilbur now facing a 1st and 15. Nope, that's a 1st and 17 from the Jaguar 25-yard line. McDowell will be behind Jaeger. Two wingbacks, one wide receiver split wide to either side. Jaeger wants to throw, and it's a screen to the right. It got tipped. That ball got tipped right away at the line of scrimmage, and it ended up flying out of bounds. I couldn't tell you who tipped it. A possible suspect would be Kenny Ireland. Jacob Amato was also there on left end, and it's possible Jesus Higuereta might have gotten a hand on it. So Wilbur tried twice trying to unload their screen pass attack, and they've had no success with it thus far. 2nd and 17 from the Prep 25-yard line. Jaeger under center, McDowell behind him. Two wingbacks, one wide receiver split to the left. And Jaeger tucks the ball. He wants to throw. He's looking right. Now he's looking downfield. And the defender fell down. The pass was complete to number 44. That's Devin Meggers, but there's a flag on the play. And they're going to call offensive pass interference. They're going to say that Meggers shoved his man down. That was Cole Hyatt. And Hyatt went down just as the ball was getting to Meggers. But they're going to say Meggers shoved Cole down. So that pass, which got all the way down to the Prep 3-yard line, that's going to come back. Hyatt, I don't know if Coach Witt is aware of this. He's got a little bit of a hitch in his giddy-up. He's not feeling all that wonderful right now. So this will be a repeat 2nd down. The Jaguars dodge a major bullet. The ball now is going to come all the way back to the 40-yard line. And Wilbur has 2nd and forever. The ball is on the Prep 40. They need to get down to the Prep 8. So this is the 2nd down and 32 for the Wildcats. Hyatt's going back to work at defensive back. This time, Jaeger's in shotgun with McDowell behind him. There's a single wing back. Jaeger wants to throw. Now he turns and throws across his body. This ball can be picked off. That was a badly thrown ball intercepted by number 23, number 20. 25, 30. Buzzing uphill. The attack's going to get back over the 35-yard line. That ball was picked off by Zarek Baker, and I'm telling you, Zarek had all day to pick that baby off. It was badly underthrown. It looked like it was aimed for Baker. And he intercepted that ball at about the 12-yard line and returned it past the 35. Now the officials are consulting. I don't see any flags on the play. No, I take it back. That judge says there is a flag. Well, it appears the interception does not count. I'm wondering if they are called. I haven't seen a signal from the official. It must be that they're going to call defense and pass interference. That's the only thing I can think of, because they're placing this ball all the way down the prep 5-yard line. And they are. They're saying that there is defensive pass interference. So on successive plays, Wilbur commits offensive pass interference, and the Jaguars return with defensive pass interference, and that's a painful penalty. No, they're not. I beg your pardon. That was holding on the run back. This is prep ball at the 5. And Hickson's going to keep it. He gets past the 5-10. 15, now down to the 20. Well, he finally gets all down beyond the 20-yard line. That's going to be good for a prep first down. So the interception counts. Zarek Baker made a clean pick on that play. I was happy to see it, but they're saying there was holding on the run back. So Zarek's run back, which was almost past the 35-yard line, that got the ball all the way back to the prep 5, but quickly Colin Dixon bails us out with an 18-yard run, and it's first down Jaguars from their 22-yard line. Make that a 17-yard run. And the handoff this time is to Valencia, and he, tell you what, he got met right at the line of scrimmage, and all 142 red-headed pounds of him kept shoving forward. And he got past the 25-yard line to the 26. So, tough 3-yard gain there for Bubba. And the Jaguars come out now with a 2nd and 7 from their own 26-yard line. They have two wide receivers split to the left. Lynch is going to line up to the left of Dixon. Dixon's going to run to the left. Thinks about the pitch. Now cuts upfield. 25 gets about to the 29. They're going to give him to the 30 before he gets brought down by a host of Wildcats. The gain of 4. The Jaguars are the 3rd and 3 from their own 30. In the middle part of the field, and even deep in their own territory, the Jaguar offense is pretty much clicking on all cylinders. It's when they get past the 30 of Wilbur that they start having trouble. Valencia lining up to the left of Dixon. One wide receiver split wide to either side. Amato offset at tight end. The handoff is going to be to Valencia. The ball got fumbled. There was a fumble on the exchange, and I'm almost positive Wilbur recovered this. They did. That ball was recovered by Dakota Epperson. So they keep talking about the Jaguars needing to make no mistakes and put together 4 complete quarters. And against what seem to be the otherwise hapless Wilbur Wildcats, the Jaguars cannot take care of business. Two fumbles, a missed field goal, and a turnover on downs, and the Jaguars have thus far had no success. Wilbur now takes the ball over on the prep 29-yard line. Jaggers under center. He has McDowell behind him. Wingback goes into motion. The handoff is to McDowell. He runs off right tackle, and he gets back into the linebacker core. Gets down about the 25-yard line before he gets brought down by Mario Valencia. Bubba trying to atone for that fumble, which in fairness, it's difficult to tell if that was Mario's fault or if that was Dixon's fault. It was just it wasn't a clean exchange, and the ball went flying. 4 yards on the first down for Wilbur, 2nd and 6 from the Jaguar 25-yard line. Jagger with McDowell behind him has the two wingbacks again. One wingback goes into motion, and that is to Hinn, who sweeps around right end, gets that 25. Now he's fumbled the ball, but then manages to gather it back in. They're going to give him forward. They're actually going to give him credit forward motion, getting to about the 23-yard line. So make that a, you got to get to about the 19, so make it a third and four. 7:35 to go here, first half. No score. Jaguars at 0-8, taking on Wilbur Creston at 1-7. Third and four from the Jaguar 23-yard line. Jagger under center, McDowell behind him. Two wingbacks, two wide receivers, and the handoff. Nope, it's Jagger's keeping it, trying to go off left tackle, and it gets strung out. He's going to get dragged down by Zarek Baker, but not before he got inside the 20-yard line for a gain of four and to the 19, which is where the ball had to get. And from my vantage, I'd say that was enough for a Wilbur first down, and they're signaling to the chain gang, yes, indeed, move the chain. So Wilbur again in the prep red zone. They got down to the 15 on their last possession. Then they managed to penalize themselves all the way back out to the 40 and then threw an interception. See if the Jaguar defense can bend but not break again. Jagger under center. McDowell behind him. Two wingbacks, two wide receivers split to the close side of the field on the left. The handoff is to McDowell, and the ball is going to be on the ground. That's going to be gathered in by the Jaguars. McDowell fumbled it, and I think Mario Valencia is the one that recovered it. We have no definitive signal just yet. Are they going to say McDowell managed to gather it back in? They are. The ball is fumbled. McDowell gathered in his own fumble at the 16, so credit him with a gain of three. Second and seven. Valencia was right there trying to atone for that earlier fumble. Second and seven from the Jaguar 16. Jagger under center, McDowell behind him. He has Cunningham and Odegaard as his wingbacks. Two wide receivers split wide to the right. He sends Cunningham into motion. Jagger wants to keep it, and he's not going to get a whole lot for his pains. I think they're going to give him 2 yards just inside the 15-yard line. Call it the 14. So third, and they've got to get to the 9. So this is the third down and 5. Five, 16 to go here, first half. I almost said second half. 5:08 to go, second quarter. No score. And one of the coaches is going to want to talk this over. We have a timeout, Tri-Cities Prep. Dan Witsit wants to bolster his defense. So with 5:02 to go and no score, we'll take a break as well. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM, KHSS.
If you have a family, you'll eventually need a good lawyer who is skilled at family law. Since 1976, Quattle Law Offices have specialized in all areas of family law, including child custody and support, adoptions, divorce, wills and estates, property divisions, and complex litigation. Pat Quattle was one of the first women to practice law in the Tri-Cities and has been recognized for outstanding volunteer legal services in the Tri-Cities community. Call Quattle Law Offices today at 943-3331. That's 943-3331.
Prepare to have your car buy-in experience redimensioned. Joe Klein at McCurley Integrity Dealerships can get you the wheels of your dreams with a simple phone call. Whether new or used, whether it's for personal, business, or commercial use, and whether it's Chevy, Cadillac, Toyota, Honda, Subaru, Mazda, or Mercedes, give Joe Klein a chance to show you how easy it can be to buy a car through McCurley's fleet side. The money and time you'll save will astound you. Call Joe Klein today at 366-5159. That's 366-5159.
This is KHSS, Walla Walla.
5:02 to go here, second quarter, no score. The Jaguars taking on the Wilbur Creston Wildcats, and the Wildcats in prep territory, deep in prep territory. They have a third and five from the prep 14. Hasn't exactly been a clinic on football. some serious mistakes by both teams. Jaeger will go under center for the Wildcats. He'll have McDowell behind him. Two wingbacks. One of the Odegaard, the wingback, goes in motion. The handoff is to number four. That is McDowell. And McDowell got about one. He wanted to run to the right of center, but frankly, the running lanes were not there. And Jaguars holding off that interior running game, forcing the Wildcats into a fourth and four now. And this time the Wildcats are going to come on in field goal formation. They have Dakota Epperson out there, who also plays on the line. He's 6'4", 260-pound senior. This is going to be a 30-yard attempt. Jaeger is the holder, so watch for the fake. But Epperson's going to try the kick. And he had good length, but it looked to me like he was off to the right, and it was. So both teams got into the red zone. Both teams attempted field goals. Prep goes wide left. Wilbur goes wide right. And we still have no score. With 4:15 to go here, second quarter. So 40 yards for Wilbur thus far, second quarter. The Jaguars have 25. They went from their 5 to their 30 before they turned the ball over last time. If the Jaguars can hang on to the ball in March, they can still get a hold of this thing. Valencia's going to line up to the right of Dixon. The handoff is to Valencia. He's looking for an opening. He has to string it out. Now he's going to have to try and double back. And he manages to get past the 20-yard line, but then the side judge threw up his flag. And I believe they're going to call holding on this. And we have holding against Tri-Cities Prep. So part of this had to do with the fact that there was supposed to be an opening off left tackle, and that didn't happen, and Bubba had to double back. He did his job as the running back, but then somebody got a hold of too much jersey in trying to keep things contained, and this is going to shove the Jaguars now back to the 10-yard line. They will have first and 20 with 4:07 to go. So the Jaguars need to march 90 yards. The good news is they really ought to be able to do this. It's just a simple matter of keeping their heads and playing sound football, not making any mistakes. The Wilbur defense has nothing special to it. The Jaguar offense is more than a match for this. They just need to execute. Valencia will line up to the right of Dixon. We have one wide receiver split wide to either side. Dixon takes a snap. He looks to run right. Now he's dancing right now. He's trying to turn up the middle. He gets back to the 10, out of the 15, found an opening. He's going to get hauled down past the 20. Tough running by Colin Dixon. Gets all the way down to the 21-yard line. So an 11-yard gain, and the Jaguars will now have a second and 9 from their own 21. Dixon wanted to run around left end, and he found the door slammed. He turned around back then, found a gaping hole in what had been the middle of the line, and was able to dance his way out of the danger zone to the 21. Yeah, they're calling it to 22, so call it second and 8. Valencia to the right. Hand off this to him. There's a gaping hole. He hits it hard, gets to the 25, up to the 26 before it closed in a hurry. That's a 5-yard gain. Check that 4-yard gain. And that'll make it a 5-yard gain. They're going to give him to the 27. So third down and 3. Jones comes out with a play for the huddle. 2:38 to go here, second quarter. Jones will line up on the left. Peterson will line up on the right. Valencia will line up to the left of Dixon. 2:25 to go. Dixon takes a snap, hands off to Valencia. Wants to run right up the middle, and the hole closed in a hurry. They're going to say he only got about one. Jacob Watkins came in from a right end position, and somebody, I think, left him unblocked and swallowed Bubba up before he could get out of first gear. So it's 4th and 2 from their own 28. 1:57 to go. Dan Witzel saying, let's just go for it here. So, and the play gets whistled dead before it can take off, and I think we may actually have a timeout called. And, yeah, we did. We have a timeout, Tri-Cities Prep. So 1:49 to go here, second quarter, no score. The Jaguars will have a 4th-and-2 when we come back. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Keeping your smile healthy is our number one goal at Gillette Family Dentistry. Since 1981, Dr. Gillette and his staff have been providing quality dental care in a friendly, caring atmosphere. Dr. Gillette's general, cosmetic, and sports dentistry always have you, the patient, in mind. Gillette Family Dentistry is located across from Broadmoor Mall at 9221 Sandifer Parkway. Call 547-0730 to learn more about how we can help keep your smile healthy. That's 547-0730 for Gillette Family Dentistry.
In the mid-1990s, when Tri-Cities Prep was still but a dream for many, the great Monsignor Desmond Dillon had a vision for the school. He said that he wanted Tri-Cities Prep to be a place where students can come to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Since welcoming its first students in 1998, these words have been woven into the fabric of Tri-Cities Prep, reminding us that, first and foremost, Tri-Cities Prep is a Catholic high school, a community of faith. To learn more, visit tcprep.org. That's tcprep.org.
This is KHSS. Walla Walla Walla.
1:49 to go here in the first half. No score. Jaguars with a 4th-and-2 from the 28-yard line. Baker is lining up in shotgun, and the Jaguars are in the spread. Two wide receivers to the right, one to the left, and Baker's going to do a pooch that is going to hit at the 41-yard line and then be tipped by Jones before it can take a big Wilbur bounce, and the ball's going to be placed right about the 43-yard line. So the Jaguars come out in spread, and they send Gavin Baker out in shotgun, and with probably very strict instructions to Gavin, saying that if we have the formation that we want, go for it, otherwise kick, and did not like the formation. So Gavin pooches it to the 43, and we are probably, knock on wood, going to end up going to halftime with a scoreless tie, because the Wilbur offense has not exactly covered itself in glory here. Jaeger's going to be under center. He'll have McDowell behind him and the two wingbacks. One wide receiver split wide to the other side. One wingback goes into motion, and the handoff is to the other wingback. That is Odegaard. And Odegaard gets to midfield, called it a gain of 7. No, that's not a flag. So 2nd-and-3 for the Wildcats, 1:25 to go. They come up in a hurry. They're going to try and punch this in. Same formation. One wing back goes into motion. The handoff is going to be to number 4. That's McDowell. But a flag goes flying in the backfield, and that is almost certainly holding. McDowell gets down to the 44, but it's going to come back because it was holding against Wilson. 1:11 to go here in the half. So instead of a first down in Jaguar territory, Wilbur is now going to be facing a 2nd. And I'm thinking about 13. Nope, take it back. They place the ball at the 45. So it's going to be 2nd. What do we got here? 2nd-and-8. They're going to split two wide receivers to the left. Jaeger's going to come under center. He'll have McDowell behind him with the two wingbacks. Two wingback, two tight end arrangement. One of the wingbacks goes into motion, and it's a fake handoff to McDowell. Jaeger's going to keep it, and the prep line refused to buy it. Gains about 3. Say the 48 with the 3rd-and-5 from the Wilbur 48. They quickly come back to the line, 35 seconds to go. This time Jaeger's going to be in shotgun with McDowell behind him. Jaeger wants to throw. He throws to the right, and it is too hot for his intended receiver. That was Tucker Odegaard, otherwise a wingback. And in fairness, given the criticism I have to give prep receivers, Odegaard is subject to this as well. Jaeger didn't throw the world's greatest pass, but Odegaard put two hands on it and did not gather it in. So he cost the Wildcats a first down there, much to the relief of prep. And Wildcat coach Darren Reppy wants to talk it over. So we'll take a timeout. 26 seconds to go here, first half. No score between Wilbur and Prep. We'll be back with the end of the first half. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Some fast food restaurants serve what they call Mexican food. Why settle for second best when you can go to Taco John's, a real Mexican restaurant at 701 West Vineyard Avenue in Kennewick? Sometimes it might take a little longer at Taco John's, but it's always fresh, always delicious. Taco John's has a reputation for serving some of the finest Mexican food available. Located across from Kennewick High School, that's Taco John's, where there's a whole lot of Mexican going on.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
Greatest call letters in the history of broadcast journalism right there. We are live at Edgar Brown Stadium. No score. 4th and 5 for Wilbur Creston from their 48-yard line. 26 seconds to go your first half. No score. Yeager in shotgun. He'll have McDowell next to him. Two wide receivers split wide down his side. Yeager looking for something. Now not finding anything. Now he's having to scramble. He's running to the right, trying to turn the corner. Now he backs up. He tries to pull up field, and he manages to get the first down inside prep territory at the 43-yard line. 16 seconds to go. Heads up scrambling by Yeager for a 10-yard gain. And Wilbur has the first down, but it's at the prep 43, 16 yards to go. Yeager in shotgun again. He has McDowell right next to him. Yeager looks to the throw. He's looking left, and now it's going to be blown dead. They're going to say that play never really got off. I don't know if we have illegal formation or illegal procedure, but this penalty is almost certainly going to go against Wilbur, and it was a dead ball, illegal formation against the Wildcats. So that ball is going to come back a little ways. Back to the 48, just over 10 seconds to go. Yeager in shotgun. Two wingbacks, McDowell next to him, one wide receiver down to his side. Yeager wants to throw. Now he has to step up. Now he has to step back. Now he's under pressure. We're going to have a flag again. This one's going to be holding. Yeager on his horse. Now throws the ball intended for his tight end, Watkins, at about the 43-yard. Checked at the 35-yard line. But almost certainly this play is going to come back. And then just holding against Wilbur and... that's just going to be declined, and that'll be the end of the first half, where we have a scoreless tie. It is Wilbur nothing, Prep nothing, as we go into halftime. We'll be back with preliminary statistics, play breakdown, what the Jaguars did right and what they needed to work on and what they needed to do to succeed in the second half. You are listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Planning your will and health care directives can be an overwhelming experience. An attorney who specializes in these matters can ensure that you, your property, and your loved ones are taken care of in the best possible manner. For over 10 years, Richland's Mario Ledesma at Ledesma Law Offices on Jadwin Avenue has been helping families with estate planning, community property agreements, health care directives, wills, and transfer of property. He also specializes in discrimination and employment-related issues. Call Ledesma Law Offices at 946-1248. That's 946-1248.
Yo, you guys, listen up. I went down to Cagini's. I brought my sister in from New York and her husband. Man, they went back to New York. They haven't stopped talking yet about the food down at that place. I call them up and say, you got to shut up. I know it's good, okay? Tough luck you don't got it there. What am I going to do, huh? I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'll send you a sandwich if I have to. I'll send you some ravioli. Man, it's delicious. I'll send you some of that gualatella. It's fabulous. Cugini's, 960 Wallula Avenue, Buono Pazzo.
KHSS has a long tradition of broadcasting high school sports to our Walla Walla and Tri-Cities listeners over the airwaves of 100.7 FM and worldwide over the Internet. Since the fall of 97, KHSS has broadcasted more than 1,000 DeSales High School athletic contests. This year, we are broadcasting Tri-Cities Prep Games, and we'd like to invite you to be a part of it. If you have a business and would like to sponsor our Tri-Cities Prep broadcast, or you know somebody who does, call us here at KHSS at 525-7878. That's 525-7878.
Canyon Lakes Golf Course is the Tri-Cities' highest rated and most popular golf course. Buy your 2016 yearly or Twilight membership and get the rest of this year free. Buy your 2016 VIP membership for $395, and it starts today. Start your monthly membership for $100, and they'll prorate your current month. For more information, go to CanyonLakesGolfCourse.com. Why play the rest when you can play the best? Canyon Lakes Golf Course.
So what can you find at a Catholic Supply Company? A lot. school uniforms, books, gifts, cards, artwork, school curricula for parochial schools and homeschools, vestments, liturgical books, missals, and people who dearly love the Catholic faith. With their buying power, Blessed on First Catholic Supply Company will be able to save parishes and Catholic schools some money, and individual parishioners as well. Come see us at Blessed on First, 120 West First Avenue, Kennewick.
Fall is now here, which means the weather's caught somewhere between winter and summer. But even as temperatures change outside, your comfort doesn't have to, because a new Lennox heating and cooling system from Campbell & Company preserves your comfort all year long. Right now, you can enjoy a rebate of up to $1,700 with the purchase of a qualifying new Lennox heating and cooling system. Go to TrustCampbell.com for details. Campbell & Company, trusted home comfort solutions for over 30 years.
Ideal Jewelry and Boutique in Richland carries boutique items such as clothing, purses, scarves, hats, jewelry, and more. Owner Tammy Davenport has designed many of the jewelry pieces herself, making them unique and one-of-a-kind, yet affordable. They also have a beautiful collection of handmade rosaries that you have to hold in your hand to fully appreciate. And 100% of the rosary proceeds goes to KHSS Catholic Radio. Visit Ideal Jewelry and Boutique at 1950 Keene Road, Q1, Richland, or call 366-1873.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
We're at halftime here from the gravel pit, Edgar Brown Stadium here in Pasco, where the Jaguars are still searching to get off the schneid to end a 9-game losing streak extending over 2 seasons. And they are up against the Wilbur Creston Wildcats, who at 1-7 are facing their own 7-game losing streak. So both teams playing for pride here. And this hasn't exactly been the most stellar football game. We have a scoreless tie at halftime. Preliminary statistics, very preliminary statistics. Total yards, Wilbur has 102 yards. Prep has 86. Colin Dixon is 1-for-3 for 12 yards. From the quarterback position, no touchdowns, but most importantly, no interceptions. I do not have rushing statistics. I can tell you that Mario Valencia is certainly Prep's leading runner, although he's not on pace to hit the 180-yard-plus mark like he did last week against Waitsburg. Here's the possession roundup. The Jaguars took the opening kickoff from the 34-yard line, and they marched to the 46 before a Mario Valencia fumble. They get to the Wilbur 44-yard line before Mario Valencia fumble was recovered. Wilbur then is only able to go 6 yards. The Jaguars hold them to 3 and out. The Jaguars take over at midfield. They then proceed to march to the 19-yard line when a Hogan Jones 37-yard field goal ends up going wide left. Wilbur then takes the ball over on their 20. They march 9 yards. They end up having to punt. Jaguars take the ball over then on the Wilbur 43-yard line. They get down to the Wilbur 28-yard line, but then promptly throw it in reverse. Between penalties and 2 sacks, they end up going from the Wilbur 28 to the Wilbur 45 before they turn the ball over on downs. Wilbur then takes the ball over on their 45-yard line. Check that, the Prep. Their 45-yard line. They marched to the Prep 27-yard line, and that was the end of the first quarter. Wilbur then, to start the second quarter, starting on the 28, gets down to the 15 when they proceed to throw it in reverse, led mostly by an offensive pass interference call that went wildly against them. They would have had a first and goal on the Prep 3. As it was, they had a second and forever from the Prep 40. And on the next play, Jaeger was intercepted by Zarek Baker, who would have returned the ball to the 40-yard line, but then Prep, holding on the return, placed them on the Wilbur 5-yard line. First play from scrimmage, Colin Dixon, 18-yard scamper up the left sideline of the 23, gets the Jaguars out of trouble, and they get all the way to the Wilbur 30 when Valencia fumbles again. This time, the Wildcats take over on their 29. They march 16 yards down to the Prep 13-yard line, and then a Dakota Epperson field goal. That ends up going wide right, and we still have no score. Jaguars take the ball over on their 20, immediately hold penalty themselves back to the 10, march out to the 28. They have to punt. And then Wilbur takes the ball over on their 43-yard line, and they manage to march to the Prep 43-yard line before time runs out in the second quarter, and that's your ball game. There is no scoring summary to give because there's no score to be reported. It is a scoreless tie, as I mentioned earlier. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to evaluate Prep's performance both on offense and defense in the first half and what they do to succeed in the second half. You are listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
If you have a family, you'll eventually need a good lawyer who is skilled at family law. Since 1976, Quattle Law Offices have specialized in all areas of family law, including child custody and support, adoptions, divorce, wills and estates, property divisions, and complex litigation. Pat Quattle was one of the first women to practice law in the Tri-Cities and has been recognized for outstanding volunteer legal services in the Tri-Cities community. Call Quattle Law Offices today at 943-3331. That's 943-3331.
Prepare to have your car buy-in experience redimensioned. Joe Klein and McCurley Integrity Dealerships can get you the wheels of your dreams with a simple phone call. Whether new or used, whether it's for personal, business, or commercial use, and whether it's Chevy, Cadillac, Toyota, Honda, Subaru, Mazda, or Mercedes, give Joe Klein a chance to show you how easy it can be to buy a car through McCurley's fleet side. The money and time you'll save will astound you. Call Joe Klein today at 366-5159. That's 366-5159.
Keeping your smile healthy is our number one goal at Gillette Family Dentistry. Since 1981, Dr. Gillette and his staff have been providing quality dental care in a friendly, caring atmosphere. Dr. Gillette's general, cosmetic, and sports dentistry always have you, the patient, in mind. Gillette Family Dentistry is located across from Broadmoor Mall at 9221 Sandifer Parkway. Call 547-0730 to learn more about how we can help keep your smile healthy. That's 547-0730 for Gillette Family Dentistry.
In the mid-1990s, when Tri-Cities Prep was still but a dream for many, the great Monsignor Desmond Dillon had a vision for the school. He said that he wanted Tri-Cities Prep to be a place where students can come to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Since welcoming its first students in 1998, these words have been woven into the fabric of Tri-Cities Prep, reminding us that, first and foremost, Tri-Cities Prep is a Catholic high school, a community of faith. To learn more, visit tcprep.org. That's tcprep.org.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
Live here at the Gravel Pit, Edgar Brown Stadium, at halftime. No score between your Tri-Cities Prep Jaguars and the Wilder Creston Wildcats. Both teams fighting for pride here and not much else as the playoffs are not going to be held out for the Jaguars, who are at 0-8, and the Wildcats, who are 1-7, and since they won their first game of the season, they're on a 7-game losing streak, while the Jaguars are on an 8-game season winning streak and an overall nine-game overall losing streak, extending back to their crossover game against the Davenport Gorillas last year. Take a look at what the Jaguars have been doing on defense. They largely have been doing precisely what they need to do. Wilbur Creston is a strong running team. They run either out of the I or out of the wingback formation, and they love out of the wingback formation, the double wing formation, to run confusion routes to make the defense key on one runner when the ball often will be with another runner. And they also love power running straight up the gut. The Jaguars have frankly slammed the door on the power running. I believe the Wildcats have tried to run power straight up the middle, with no fanfare whatsoever, probably about five times, and the Jaguars, I believe, have held them to under 10 yards on those plays. Where they have had a little bit more success in particular is when they fake to the running back or to one of the wingbacks, and in particular the quarterback, Jaeger, keeps it and then runs around end. They've had some better success with that, but not significant. They get to the linebacking core on those plays, and then the linebackers bring them down. And the Jaguars, to their credit, when they see that particular formation again and they see that particular play again, they key on it and shut it down. There was one notable time where Jaeger would fake to McDowell, the running back, and then Jaeger would try and run around left end. The first time he did that, he got 12 yards. The second time, he got 2. So the Jaguars are making they're doing a good job in containing the Wilbur running game. They're not allowing anybody to get into the secondary. They're not allowing big runs to get broken off, and interior running in particular, they've been slamming the door on that. And when the Wildcats have had some success, the Jaguars have been making defensive adjustments and not allowing Wildcats to repeat themselves. As far as passing goes, Jaeger, I believe, is 0 for 4. No, check that. He's 0 for 5, and I have him 0 for 5 with one interception. He's tried to throw two screens. He's tried to throw twice downfield, and the one time he threw quite a ways downfield, it ended up getting intercepted by Zarek Baker. Now, there would have been a reception that would have been good for about 35 yards from the 40 to the 3-yard line, but on that particular play, Devin Meggers, the intended receiver, he's a 6'6", 250-pound junior tight end. He managed to pull the string on Cole Hyatt and knocked him down before collecting the pass, and the officials were right on that and called offensive pass interference, and that is probably... you hate to have a penalty if you play the game, but that probably was it, because instead of having a first and goal from the prep three, the Wildcats then had a second and forever from, no, it wasn't their 40, but from the prep 40. And on the very next play, Jaeger threw that interception keyed in by Zarek Baker. And so the Jaguar defense, they've been doing what they need to do. The Jaguar offense, that's potentially another story. In doing radio, which if I can just indulge for a moment in personal observation is ironic for me because I hate listening to stories. I cannot listen to books on tape. And if someone says, here, let me read this to you, I'd say, no, please give it to me so I can read it to myself. I don't want to hear you talk. And yet, ironically, here I am on the air talking. Part of this has to do with the fact that I'm a visual learner, and perhaps you've seen the meme picture out there. It shows this rather dorky-looking guy holding a rock, and the caption says, here, Captain Obvious, have this rock. The reason I say that is because, you know, when you talk about what the offense needs to do, well, here comes the Captain Obvious moment. Don't turn the ball over. I mean, it's a total Captain Obvious moment, but, boy, you've got to take care of the ball. The Jaguars, both against DeSales and against Waitsburg-Prescott, were taken out of the game repeatedly by interceptions. And in this particular game, they've been taking themselves out of the game with fumbles. Both of them technically are credited to Mario Valencia, but in Bubba's defense, the first fumble, Dakota Epperson for Wilbur, in an effort to tackle Bubba, quite literally grabbed the ball and, using the ball as a fulcrum, swung Bubba around. And it was almost inevitable that the ball was going to be given up. The second fumble was on an exchange between Valencia and Dixon. It was just not a clear exchange. And, again, it's going to be credit to Valencia, but in fairness, it wasn't entirely his fault. Then there were a couple of instances where the snap was too high. And both times the snap bounced. The first time, Dixon managed to collect it, and he actually turned a negative into a positive. He should have been taken down for a 14-yard loss, and as it is, he turned it into about a 5-yard gain. But then the second time, almost identical situation, ball flies over Dixon's head, makes it bounce. Dixon's able to gather it up, but this time he has defensive ends in his face, and he's unable to get away and ends up getting dropped for about a 14-yard loss. So simply put, the keys to success for the Jaguars in the second half, but the defense needs to keep doing exactly what they're doing. They're containing the Wilbur running game. They're making adjustments when Wilbur has some success. The secondary is pretty much shutting down the passing game. In fairness, they have an easy, relatively easy time of this. Wilbur's a running team. Jaeger's not really much of a passing quarterback. But if the Jaguars keep taking care of business on defense, that should be fine. The key to this game, the Jaguar offense has got to keep its head together and put together two quarters of solid football. They got to hang on to the ball. They can't make mistakes. The snaps need to be crisp. The line needs to blow open the holes like they've been doing, and Bubba needs to hit them. And in fairness to Valencia, when he sees the line, he hits them really well. That's what he's been doing very well these last 2 weeks. So, Captain Obvious, folks, take care of the ball. Do well on defense. Rather, do well on offense. Defense, keep taking care of business, and we're going to be in Fat City, and you can put an end to this 8-game losing streak. You can end the season on a high note and have something to look forward to for next year And you hate to talk about next year, but when you look at a lineup that consists of 22 students and two of them are going to be graduating seniors. So you're going to return pretty much everybody next year. The only ones you aren't genuinely returning are two-way players in Hogan Jones and Bennett Peterson, who play wide receiver and defensive back. And the Jaguars have gotten good production, not just from its current juniors, but also from a series of freshmen and sophomores. Win tonight, you've got Uncle Mo squatting on your sideline all off-season, and a bunch of seasoned veterans returning for next year, and suddenly things look quite a bit different. We are ready for kickoff here. Hogan Jones is set to kick off, and I'll tell you what, Wilbur Creston got the memo. They have Mason Anderson and Tucker Odegaard on their goal line to try and gather the kickoff. This is the deepest I have seen return men line up all year. They have obviously seen the film on Hogan and know that he can boom the ball and put it into the end zone. So the referees are actually holding us up a little bit. They wanted to get the clock set. Now they kind of jog the ball out and say, okay, yeah, fine, we're ready to go. So here we go. Jones will go back to about his 30. And like I said, we have Jason Townsend, a 5'10", 140-pound sophomore, deep to receive. And I believe that is Tucker Odegaard. And Jones is going to kick to the shallow left side, where it actually bounces at the, he was trying to avoid the return men altogether. It ends up bouncing at the 18-yard line and then the 28-yard line. And from there bounces out of bounds. Now they're going to say, yes, that's right, 27. But because the ball bounced out of bounds, that will be a penalty and the ball will end up being placed on the 30. I'll have to ask Dan Whitsitt about that. He must have some intelligence on those return men, because we all know that Hogan has the leg to boom that thing into the end zone. And Dan Whitsitt did not want those return men touching it. So Yeager's going to come out under center with, it appears to be McDowell behind him. He has two wing backs and two close-in wide receivers. One wing back goes into motion. And it is that wing back who takes the handoff, and that's Odegaard. He gets met in the backfield, but squeaks out, and now he's going to the other side, and he's going to get upfield. He's to the 40. 45 gets all the way to midfield before he gets dragged down. That was a classic case of bad tackling. Odegaard was trapped at the 30-yard line trying to run right. He then turns around, reverses field, runs around left end, and he runs that ball 22 yards all the way down to the 48-yard line. I said the defense had to take care of business. On that play, it didn't happen. They needed to wrap Odegaard up and ring him for a 10-yard loss. Yeager comes under center with McDowell behind him. Two wide receivers, two wing backs, and the handoff is to McDowell, who runs into the line and gets met pretty much right away. He didn't get a whole lot for his troubles. They're going to give him 2 yards to the 46. So second and 8. And again, the Jaguar line just letting nothing happen when it comes to interior running. They've had no success with that at all this evening. Yeager breaks the huddle, puts his one wide receiver to either side. He's going to go under center. Again, he'll have McDowell behind him with his two wingbacks. And the handoff, no, it's going to be Yeager who's going to keep, and he wants to run around right end, and he gets met at the 43-yard line and hammered back by Jacob Amato. They're going to give him to the 43-yard line, so call that a gain of 3. It is just on the other side of the 44. Technically, that's 43. So this is a third, and it's a long 5. It's almost 6. Same formation. One wide receiver split to either side. Two wing backs. Number 4 behind Yeager. The handoff is going to be to Cunningham. He's going to get met behind the line of scrimmage and yanked down by Bennett Peterson. They haven't met him at the 44-yard line and then drove him all the way back to the 49. They're going to give him forward progress to the 44, but that's still a loss of one. Cunningham was lined up at the right wing back, and he swung around and took the handoff. Peterson was right there to meet him. Loss of one. It's fourth and six, and Dakota Epperson, again, a 6'4", 260-pound senior lineman, is also their kicker. He's back at about his 43 to punt, so the Jaguars look to hold the three and out. Epperson takes a snap, and he's going to kick, and he very nearly had it blocked. I'm telling you, that was close. And there's a flag on the play. Jacob Amato and Bennett Peterson were putting the bull rush on, and they got held. And as it was, they still almost blocked the punt. So we'll see what Dan Whitsitt wants to do with this. The punt was not very good. It ended up going out of bounds cross field. They're marking it at the 29. With a holding penalty, we have holding, yes. Holding against Wilbur, I believe this is going to be declined. Yeah. It's going to be declined, and the Jaguars will take over on their 29-yard line. If Epperson had gotten off a much better punt, I think Whitson would have said go for it, but he also doesn't want to give Epperson a chance to get off a better kick. So Dixon's going to come out and shotgun. He has two wide receivers to the right, one to the left. He'll have Valencia to his left, and Dixon fakes the throw, and now he wants to run upfield, and he keeps dancing. He gets past the 25 all the way to the 28. They started at the 24, so give Dixon four on that keeper. Second and six. 9:06 to go to your third quarter. If you've just joined us, the 0-8 Jaguars against the 1-7 Wilbur Creston Wildcats, and there's no score. Dixon has one wide receiver to either side. He has Valencia next to him on the left. And Dixon's rolling, but now he's throwing, and he's complete to Amato at the 30. Amato turns his head, turns upfield, gets to the 35 before he gets brought down by Jason Townsend, but not before he picks up seven. And that ought to be good for a prep first down. And Magnus does his job again. Call him Magnus because he generally has twin magnets for hands. Amato, if it's in the zip code of his hands, he's going to bring it down. Valencia lines up to the right of Dixon. First and 10 from the 35. Dixon's rolling right now. He cuts up field. Now he's dancing around, and he's going to end up getting dropped by Epperson behind the 30. And Dan Whitsitt is not a happy man. I don't know if that was a broken play or if we had a blown blocking assignment, but that clearly did not work out like intended. And Dixon takes a 5-yard loss. It'll be second and 15 from the prep 30. And again, the offense has got to be consistent. You cannot have those broken plays. One wide receiver to either side. Valencia's going to line up to the right of Dixon. And we have a flag before things even get going. The handoff is to Valencia, and he gets upfield past the 35 to the 36, but this is coming back. 6-yard gain by Bubba, but this is going to be, nope, this is illegal procedure against the Jaguars. And this is the kind of thing, we've seen this all season. There are times when the offense shows that they can do anything they want, and then they proceed to shoot themselves in the foot, and it's the sort of thing that just makes you want to tear your head, well, not your hair out, not your head out, that'd be a little extreme. So, first and 10 becomes second and 10, becomes second and 15, now becomes second and 20 from the prep 25. Again, one wide receiver to either side. Bubba's going to line up to the right of Dixon. Dixon takes the snap, fakes the handoff. He's going to run up left tackle, 25-30, where he's going to get met and then shoved past the 30 to about the 31. So credit Dixon with a 6-yard run, and second and 20 becomes third and 14. Jones comes out with the play. So Jones will probably line up on the left here. Your receivers have typically been Jones and Peterson. Jones will line up on the left. Peterson will line up on the right. Valencia will line up to the left of Dixon. Two tight end sets. Dixon takes a snap. He looks back. Now he's going to throw. He's going long down the left line, and the ball is intended for Bennett Peterson, and the ball was thrown too far to the inside of him. He is fortunate that his defensive back was not looking back. The defensive back, I believe, was Kendall Cunningham, and Cunningham could have picked that ball. But because he wasn't looking, fortunately, the ball falls incomplete, and 4th and 13, Jaguars going to have to punt. 6:46 to go here, no score. Hogan Jones going to be on his 18-yard line to take the snap. Here's the snap, and he gets the kick. Is partially blocked. Partially blocked and gathered in at the 37-yard line by number 18, who's immediately brought down. But that punt got partially blocked and gathered in number 50. Did I say number 50? It sure looked like number 50. Problem is, I have no number 50, so I cannot tell you who returned that punt. But it definitely did not go the way the Jaguars might have wished. So Wilbur will have the ball on the prep 34-yard line. That was just a net gain of 3 yards. Jaeger comes under center. He has a single wing and McDowell behind him in the running back position. The wing goes into motion. The handoff is to nope. Jaeger's going to keep him. He's going to get met in the backfield. And he's not being brought down. He actually manages to scramble almost back to the original line of scrimmage. They are going to give him a loss of 2. But the fact is, Peterson and Amato had him tied up almost all the way back to the 42-yard line. He was lucky to get those 6 yards back. So instead of facing a 2nd and 18, Wilbur's facing about a 2nd and 12 from the prep 36. That was a play that was working well for Wilbur in the first half, but the prep defense started making some corrections. One wide receiver split to either side. This is a very tight formation. McDowell's the running back. The wing back goes into motion, and it is to Odegaard, the wing back, and he's going to get met right about the line of scrimmage, then manages to muscle forward to the 34. And back to the original first down marker, but that leaves Wilbur with a 3rd and 10 from their 34. Jaguar defense, again, generally taking care of business against that Wilbur running offense. The Jaguar offense has got to get out of first gear. Jaeger brings his troops out. He's going to split two wide receivers to the right. Jaeger's still going to come under center with two wingbacks and McDowell behind him in the running back position. Jaeger sends one wingback into motion. That's Odegaard, and Odegaard's going to get met right at the line of scrimmage again. In fact, he's going to get dropped for a loss. 3rd and 10, the Jaguars force him to throw. Oh, no, they're going to give him, yep, they're going to say a loss of 1. Go from the 34 to the 35. So the Jaguars special teams not taking care of business. Blocked punt. Wilbur gets the ball in excellent field position at the prep 34, and they actually put Wilbur into reverse. They have 4th and 11 now from the prep 35. They are looking to go for it. Let's see if Jaeger's going to come under center. One wide receiver split wide to either side. They have the two wingbacks in Cunningham and Odegaard. McDowell is, and it's an option pass. Now it's a toss back, and it's actually, we've got a double reverse here, and now I've got a flag down. Jaeger ends up with a ball, but he's going to get dropped at the 40. And I don't know, the call is going to be holding against Wilbur, which is almost certainly going to be declined because the Jaguars dropped Jaeger for a 5-yard loss. They pitched the ball to Cunningham, who turned around and pitched it to Odegaard, who gave it back to Jaeger. I don't know if Jaeger was looking to throw or run, but he ended up running, ends up getting dropped at what amounts to 39. And the Wildcats are going to turn the ball over on downs. And the Jaguars, after much blood and thunder, having their drive stalled at the 31, now get the ball back at the 39, and they're going to try again to get their offense out of first gear. 4:16 to go here, third quarter. 1-7 Wilbur versus 0-8 Tri-Cities Prep, and there is no score. Jones runs the play out from the prep sideline. We actually have a video recorder. There are two video recorders here at the 50-yard line. Valencia is going to line up to the left of Dixon. Dixon wants to throw. He holds it, then he brings it. Then he tosses it. I believe he hit Amato right about the 48-yard line. Is that Magnus? No, that was Bennett Peterson. Bennett Peterson at the 42. That's a gain of 3. Dixon 2 for 3 here, 2nd and 7 from the 42. Valencia's going to line up to the right of Dixon, one wide receiver to either side, and the handoff is going to be to Valencia, and we've got a flag. Valencia gets to the 45 midfield, still on his feet, getting down to the 45 inside the 45. Tough gut running by Bubba, but it's almost certainly going to come back because it looked to me like where that flag and how it was thrown, we were going to have holding. And we actually have flags on the near and far sideline. Yeah, they didn't even give a preliminary signal, and already they're marching the ball back. So that would have been an 18-yard run for Bubba, but it's all coming back because actually it wasn't holding. It was the illegal procedure. 5-yard penalty. And a 2nd and 7 becomes a 2nd and 12. Jones brings the play out again from the sideline. 3:38 to go. Why should the clock be winding after a penalty like that? That's an honest question on my part. Valencia will line up to the right. Amato's offset at tight end. Fake hand off to Valencia. Dixon wants to go across the middle and oh, wow! He wanted Bennett Peterson and hit him in the numbers and credit Kendall Cunningham. He was draped. He had excellent coverage on Bennett. He was draped all over him, and as Bennett started to bring it in, Cunningham knocked it out. That is one of the better plays from a secondary that you'll see this year. Dixon put that ball almost exactly where he needed it. He could have hit Bennett in the numbers and then had a completion, but as it was, that was a good play. Fake hand, nope, it is Bubba who ends up taking the handoff, and he's going to get met behind the line of scrimmage. He's going to get dropped. They're going to say he got to the original line of scrimmage. So no gain on 3rd and 12, and it's going to be 4th and 12, and the Jaguar offense still not doing what it needs to do. Jaguar defense must be a somewhat frustrated unit right now. So Hogan Jones is going to try again, this time from his 25. And this time he gets the punt off comfortably. It's a wobbly end-over-ender. It's going to bounce at the 40. Actually gets gathered in by Jaeger at the 40 with 3 Jaguars around him and returns it to the 47. That was a gutsy effort on his part. You have an idea. This game not being terribly efficient. Third quarter yardage thus far. Tri-Cities Prep, I have down for 15 yards. Wilbur, I have down for 19 yards. Wilbur's last possession, their net yardage was -5. The Jaguars would love to throw them in reverse again as they take the ball over from their 47-yard line. Jaeger's going to come under center. He'll have McDowell behind him, and again with Cunningham and Odegaard as the wingbacks. Jaeger takes a snap. He's looking to throw, looking. Now he's going to have to scramble, runs up the middle, gets to the 45. He's going to turn the corner and cross midfield to actually get to the prep 45-yard line before he's hammered out of bounds. Hammered out of bounds by number 54. Who on earth is that? That was Colton Tinden, freshman linebacker. And knocks him out of bounds at the 43-yard line. That's just enough for a Wilbur first down. On what could well have been a coverage sack, but the line wasn't able to wrap up Jaeger, and he managed to get downfield. 2:26 to go here in the third quarter. Still no score. Jaeger comes under center. McDowell behind him. Cunningham and Odegaard are the wingbacks. Jaeger wants to throw the screen, and this time he completes the pass to Watkins. Jacob Amato tried to climb the ladder and knock it down, wasn't quite able to do it, and Jaeger completes his first pass of the game to Watkins. That's good for 10 yards, down to the prep 33. Watkins, it was funny, he collected the ball he was almost surprised to have it because Jacob Amato very nearly climbed the ladder and swatted that pass down. Jaeger comes under center again. McDowell behind him. Cunningham and Odegaard once again at wingback. Since Cunningham in motion, the handoff is to McDowell, and I think they're going to give him one. Again, that effort at interior running is the prep line is simply not buying it whatsoever. When they try and go straight up the gut, the prep line just buckles down, slams the door. Second and nine, Wilbur from the prep 32-yard line. Wildcats come to the line. Looks like Jaeger's going to be under center again with Cunningham and Odegaard at the wing back. McDowell will be the running back. He sends Cunningham in motion. The handoff is to McDowell. He gets met right at the line of scrimmage, and they're not going to get him anything this time. The prep line said, you're not even getting one. They stopped him again on the 32. Arguably, they might have given a slight loss. Third and nine. You know, with the exception of a couple broken plays and Jaeger being able to run downfield, the Wilbur offense has been virtually non-existent. Jaeger comes under center again. Cunningham and Odegaard are the wing back. McDowell going to be the running back. He sends Cunningham in motion and fakes the handoff, ultimately gives it down to Odegaard, and he's going to get yanked down by Kenny Ireland after a gain of one. Odegaard ran around right-handed. It looked like he was going to get there, but then Kenny just gave him a fair hug and yanked him down and said, nope, you're done. No more. Gain of one. So fourth and eight from the prep 31. This will probably be the last play of the third quarter. We're under 30 seconds here. And the Wildcats going to go for it. Usual double wing arrangement, Cunningham and Odegaard. McDowell's the running back. Jaeger is going to run left. He wants to throw. He's looking. Now he does throw, and he hits his man at the 20, at the 25, gets inside the 20. That's good for a first down. That was Kendall Cunningham. Gets down to the 19 on fourth and eight. Jaeger hits Cunningham for a 12-yard gain, and that gives Wilbur a first down. Once again, in the prep red zone, this will be the third time Wilbur's been down here. But that will be the last play of the third quarter. So after three quarters, we're going to go into the fourth with no score, but Wilbur threatening. We'll be back with the fourth. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Some fast food restaurants serve what they call Mexican food. Why settle for second best when you can go to Taco John's, a real Mexican restaurant at 701 West Vineyard Avenue in Kennewick? Sometimes it might take a little longer at Taco John's, but it's always fresh, always delicious. Taco John's has a reputation for serving some of the finest Mexican food available. Located across from Kennewick High School, that's Taco John's, where there's a whole lot of Mexican going on.
Planning your will and health care directives can be an overwhelming experience. An attorney who specializes in these matters can ensure that you, your property, and your loved ones are taken care of in the best possible manner. For over 10 years, Richland's Mario Ledesma at Ledesma Law Offices on Jadwin Avenue has been helping families with estate planning, community property agreements, health care directives, wills, and transfer of property. He also specializes in discrimination and employment-related issues. Call Ledesma Law Offices at 946-1248. That's 946-1248.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
Tail of the tape here as we enter the fourth quarter. Total yardage. You can say this is a defensive struggle. Wilbur, 155 total yards. Prep, 101. This is after three quarters of play. This has not exactly been a game of offensive fireworks. Wilbur will have the ball on the prep 19-yard line. They will have first and 10. This is the third time they've been in the prep red zone this evening. And the Jaguar defense has largely not even been in bend, not break. They've sent Wilbur packing a number of times. But they've given up a few big plays, and that fourth and eight 12-yard pass completion, that was a big one. Jaeger brings his troops up. You'll have McDowell behind him, and again, Odegaard and Cunningham as the wingbacks. Jaeger under center. He takes the snap. He's looking to throw. He's looking right. Now he's throwing right. He's going to way overthrow. No, he did not way overthrow his man. He led Cunningham perfectly, and Cunningham, 19-yard pass, catch, and run, touchdown, Wilbur. They draw the first blood here in the fourth quarter. Jaeger, I got to hand it to him. I thought that pass was badly thrown, but it turns out he led Cunningham perfectly for a 19-yard touchdown. And by the look of things and their formation, Jaeger's coming back out under center. They are going to go for it, and they are coming out. They're in their usual double wing formation. Jaeger wants to pass. He's looking. Now he throws to the left, and he was too strong for his man. That was Odegaard with Colin Dixon for coverage. So with 11:53 to go, Wilbur in the game. Wilbur finally draws first blood. It is Wilbur Creston 6, Tri-Cities Prep nothing. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
So I asked Uncle Louie, how you doing? He said, I'm miserable. I can't get a good sandwich anywhere. I said, you gotta go to Cugini's. You can get yourself a sandwich you won't believe. Get yourself a Godfather or Mamma Mia or the Grandpa. And the sandwich, man, that's something to write home about. Cugini's Italian Imports is Walla Walla's best-kept lunchtime secret. I shouldn't even be telling you guys about it on the radio. Cugini's Italian Imports, 960 Wallula Avenue. Buono pazzo.
KHSS has a long tradition of broadcasting high school sports to our Walla Walla and Tri-Cities listeners over the airwaves of 100.7 FM and worldwide over the Internet. Since the fall of 97, KHSS has broadcasted more than 1,000 DeSales High School athletic contests. This year, we are broadcasting Tri-Cities Prep Games, and we'd like to invite you to be a part of it. If you have a business and would like to sponsor our Tri-Cities Prep broadcast, or you know somebody who does, call us here at KHSS at 525-7878. That's 525-7878.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
11:53 to go here in the game. Wilbur Creston finally breaks the scoring drought with a Dorian Jaeger to Kendall Cunningham 19-yard touchdown pass. Jaeger then tried to find Odegaard for the two-point conversion. That ends up being no good. So it's 6-0 Wilbur, as Wilbur's trying to break a 7-game win losing streak, and the Jaguars trying to break a 9-game losing streak, extending at this point over two seasons. Dakota Epperson, one of the world's larger kickers, boots the ball at the 40. It's kind of an onside daisy scorcher. Going to be gathered in at the 40 by a runner who's normally not accustomed to do it, and he bounces off his first set of tacklers and gets past the 30, but gathered it in at the 30. Goes past the 35 all the way to the 39. Ball was initially gathered in by Alex Huang, but then another runner, I believe that was Nate Dettori, then took it 9 yards and returns the ball to the 39. So the Jaguars, once again, finding themselves in a hole, now faces an offensive reality that they simply have got to score simply so they can stay in the game. They no longer have the luxury of trying to get the first score. The Jaguars send two wide receivers to the left and one to the right. The handoff, however, is going to be to Valencia. He's to the 40, 45, breaking out 50, down to the 45, 40. He's got one more lead, 35, 30, turns up field, 25, finally going to get dragged down. But not until he's inside the 25-yard line all the way down to the 22. And just like that, the Jaguars strike back, at least in terms of offense. Long run for Bubba Valencia. What is that, 28-11. That's a 39-yard run for Bubba. And the Jaguars have first and 10 at the Wilbur 22-yard line. Got to like to see that. Peterson is going to line up on the right side. Jones going to line up on the left. Valencia is going to line up to the left of Dixon. And the handoff is to Bubba, who starts right, then turns left, and he's going to get to the 20-yard line before he gets wrapped up. Just a gain of 2 that time. But he's entitled. He rambled for 39 yards on that last carry. Peterson jogs from the sideline now with the play to the prep huddle, and he's rather rather kind of moseying about it. Now he's going to break off line up to the right. Jones will line up to the left. Valencia will line up to the right of Dixon. And Dixon takes a snap, and he wants to keep it. He runs up right tackle, gets to the 20, and then is going to get jersey tackled. But not before he struggles down to the 16-yard line. So gain of 4 for Dixon, leaving the Jaguars with a 3rd and 4. In the red zone, this is the second time Prep's been down here. The Jaguars desperately need to punch this in. If nothing else, to give the offense some confidence. Valencia will line up to the left of Dixon. One wide receiver to either side. Dixon takes a snap, gives it to Valencia. He's going to run around the right end. He gets to 15, turns the corner, and then he's going to get tackled from behind by number 18. That was Tucker Odegaard. But Bubba manages to get 2 down to the 14. Looked like he was going to turn the corner and hit the Jets. Wasn't quite able to do it. So here we go. It's 4th and 2 from the Wilbur 14-yard line, and this is a gut check time for the Jaguar offense. They've got to get this first down, simply put. They've got to take care of business and keep this offensive flow moving. So Dixon brings them out. Peterson will be on the right. Jones on the left. Bubba will line up to the right. And Bubba gets an initial contact behind the line of scrimmage but keeps his feet churning. And they're going to give him to the 12-yard line, which looks like it should be enough for a first down. Placement kind of depends here, but based on what I'm seeing with the ball, yeah, the referee's going to call it a first down. So tough running from Bubba because he got met briefly there at the line of scrimmage, but kept his feet churning and bowled ahead and just got enough for the prep first down. And boy, was that desperately needed. With 9 minutes to go here in the game, and your 0-8 Jaguars trailing the 1-7 Wilbur Crescent Wildcats, 6-0. Valencia will be close to Dixon on the left. And the handoff is to Bubba, and he muscles ahead inside the 10. Now they're going to give him to just about the 10. And a great flag comes in. I was marking down the yardage, and then I saw the flag in there. That I almost think this has to be a late hit. And if that's true, that was Devin Meggers, who it's a personal foul against Wilbur, and from the 10, that is going to be half the distance to the goal line, and more importantly, it's going to be a first down. So the Jaguars, instead of facing 2nd and 8 from the Wilbur 10, are now going to have 1st and goal from the 5, and they sent Devin Meggers off the field. I don't know if he was disqualified or if the coach just got angry and said, "You're done. Sit down." I did not see the play. I'd been marking yardage, and then the flag came sailing in very, very late. They're not going to grant a first down. That's interesting. They're going to say it's 2nd and 3 from the 5. So Dixon will fake the handoff to Mario, and now he's dancing here, and he gets inside the 5, gets down to about the 3 before he then gets met. I don't quite understand why a personal foul in half the distance to the goal line does not result in a first down, but we'll take what we can get. We have a 3rd and 1. From the 3, 8 minutes to go here, Jaguars trailing by 6, but finally knocking on the Wildcat door. Valencia will line up to the left of Dixon. Dixon takes the snap. The handoff is to Bubba. Bubba gets inside the 2. He's down to the 1. No, they're going to give him to the 2. It sure looked to me like he got to the 1, so credit Bubba with a 1-yard run. That should be enough for a prep first down. And if it is a first down, then the Jaguars going to get a fresh 4 downs. No, they're actually going to call for the chains. So with 7:28 to go, we have an official timeout as they're going to haul the chains out here to check and see if Bubba Valencia managed to pick up a first and goal. Well, no, we're just standing around. The officials have called timeout, and there's nothing happening. But here come the chains, finally. Okay. So the Jaguars, who have just been stuttering on offense all evening long, the defense finally breaks, and they give a 19-yard touchdown pass from Jaeger to Cunningham, and then the Jaguar offense, for the first time, then gets out of first gear. Their first play on that next possession is a 39-yard ramble from Bubba Valencia from the prep 39 all the way down to the Wilbur 22. And the Jaguars look to be doing what they need to do, but now they have a fourth and inches. They need to get to the two, and they're saying the ball is between the hash at the two and three. So based on the gesture that the linesman gave us, the Jaguars have got about less than a foot to go here. It'll be curious to see what Dan Whitsitt has his troops do. You can forget the field goal. They're obviously going to go for it with 7:28 to go here in the game. And they're going to bring Gavin Baker under center with Valencia behind him, two wide receivers to the left and one to the right. And Hogan Jones is not sure where he's supposed to be. Dan Whitsitt may have to call timeout here because we may be running out of time. Now Baker is going to be under center, and he's going to pull forward into the end zone for a touchdown. Yes, sir. Gavin Baker with a quarterback keeper, and he goes 2 yards. And Tri-City's Prep has tied the ball game here with 7:22 to go. There was a nice little opening between center and right tackle, and Gavin managed to slither through it, and he ties the ball game for the Jaguars here with 7:22 to go, and Hogan Jones on now to attempt the point after touchdown to give the Jaguars the lead. Baker with the high snap. Jones picks the ball up, and that kick is good. With 7:22 to go, the Jaguars have taken the lead. It's Prep 7, Wilbur Creston 6. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Canyon Lakes Golf Course is the Tri-City's highest rated and most popular golf course. Buy your 2016 yearly or Twilight membership and get the rest of this year free. Buy your 2016 VIP membership for $395 and it starts today. Start your monthly membership for $100 and they'll prorate your current month. For more information, go to CanyonLakesGolfCourse.com. Why play the rest when you can play the best? Canyon Lakes Golf Course.
So what can you find at a Catholic Supply Company? A lot. School uniforms, books, gifts, cards, artwork, school curricula for parochial schools and homeschools, vestments, liturgical books, missals, and people who dearly love the Catholic faith. With their buying power, Blessed on First Catholic Supply Company will be able to save parishes and Catholic schools some money, and individual parishioners as well. Come see us at Blessed on First, 120 West 1st Avenue, Kennewick.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
7:22 to go here. We're live from the gravel pit in the game. The last time Hogan Jones had an opportunity to kick a meaningful ball in the fourth quarter, he missed a point after touchdown against Umatilla and sealed the victory for the Vikings. This time, he had to put it through the uprights to give the Jaguars a lead, and he did the job. The Jaguars are leading the Wildcats of Wilbur Creston 7-6. 7:22 to go here in the game. We still have some football to go. We look for the defense to take care of things, and Jones hits it to the 4-yard line where it is gathered in by 32. And then we reverse to Cunningham and takes it to the 10. He's being driven back. He's going to get it behind the 10-yard line. Colton Kinnon and Nate DeTuri said, "You're not doing this," and then a late flag came in, but they got Cunningham inside the 10-yard line. We're going to have to make some sense of this flag. I didn't see a problem. Do we have holding against Wilbur? Holy cow. So the Wilbur special teams tries to do a reverse. They gathered in, I don't know if it was Odegaard or if it was Anderson that gathered the ball in. They then handed it off to Cunningham. And as Cunningham tried to curl his route back out, Nate Tatari and Colton Kinnon zeroed in on him and nailed him behind the 10-yard line. And then holding on that reverse puts the ball back at the Wilbur 4-yard line. If the Jaguar defense can do what it has largely done all game, this could be very, very good for the Jaguars. Jaeger has his usual formation. He has two wingbacks and a running back. One of the wingbacks goes into motion. The handoff, no, Jaeger's going to keep it himself, and he got to about the 6-yard line and then got pushed back. No, they're going to say he got to the 7. So Jaeger gets, well, that, yeah, sorry, 2. Yep, there we are. Starting on the 5. They're going to say the ball started on the 5-yard line rather than the 4. So 2nd and 8 now. For Wilbur from their 8-yard line. The Jaguar defense has a primo opportunity here if they can just hold Wilbur deep here. Jaeger comes under center. He has McDowell behind him, Cunningham and Odegaard at the wings. Jaeger wants to throw. He's looking right. Now he throws right, and it's going to be intercepted. I believe that was Cole Hyatt. Jaeger's pass was woefully underthrown, and quiet. Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen. Number 3, the freshman, the 5'7", 130-pound defensive back, makes the interception at the Wilbur 30-yard line, and the Jet checked that 31. And, boy, you ask the defense to take care of things, and there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Quiet, the freshman, steps up big, and let's see if the Jaguar offense can give finally some fourth quarter breathing space. 6:23 to go here in the game. Jones comes in with the play. Peterson's going to line up on the line. Jones on the far sideline. Valencia will line up close right to Dixon in shotgun. Dixon takes a snap. Hand off to Bubba. He's at the 20. Bounces off a man. Keeps churning. Keeps his leg moving. Now he wasn't at the 30. Check that. He was at the, not at the 20. He was at the 31-yard line. Goes inside the 30. Down to the 28. So a gain of 3. 2nd and 7 for the Jaguars, and most importantly, for once in our lifetimes this season, we can say this, the clock keeps running. We're under 6 minutes to go. Jaguars with a 1-point lead. All the scoring happening here, such as it is, in the fourth quarter. Valencia will line up to the right of Dixon. Dixon takes a snap on 2nd and 7. The handoff is to Bubba. He's to the 25. Keeps churning. Keeps pushing his legs. Gets down to the 24. Top 4-yard run there from Bubba. Giving the Jaguars now a 3rd and 3. Clock keeps ticking. 5:27 to go here in the fourth. Peterson runs the play out. It'll be interesting to see if Dixon can start milking the snap clock, which is down to 13. Dixon comes out with Valencia to the close left of him. 5 seconds to go. Here's the snap. Handoff is to Bubba. He's inside the 20. He gets down to the 17. That's going to be good for a first down. Check that, the 18. 6-yard run from Bubba gives the Jaguars a first down, and the clock is under 5 minutes. Down to the 18. This is the fourth time the Jaguars have been in the red zone here. They were only successful here just recently, a little more than 2.5 minutes ago. Gavin Baker got under center only for the second time this game and had a quarterback sneak. And the Jones point after touchdown gives the Jaguars the lead. They now have a 1st and 10 from the Wilbur 18. Valencia to the right of Dixon. The handoff is going to be to him, and he might have got to the original line of scrimmage. No. He was met right away by a host of Wildcats led by Bryson Stensgar, a 5'8", 270-pound junior lineman. Pretty much kept Bubba from doing anything. Call no gain on that play. But most importantly, once again, the clock keeps ticking. No. It's the first time all year that the Jaguars have been in this position. They've had a lead this late in the game, and they're actually praying for the clock to move ahead. Valencia's going to line up wide left of Dixon. Dixon takes a snap. The handoff again is to Bubba. And he's going to get met behind the line of scrimmage. This time he gets yanked down by Epperson. Not only is he a very active lineman for Wilbur, but he also is their place kicker. And this time he drops Bubba for a 2-yard loss. So the Jaguars now facing 3rd and 12. But under three, we're going to be under 3.5 minutes to go when this snap takes place. They tell the timer to start, and Peterson just kind of calmly jogs out there. They're in no hurry to get this play off. 3rd and 12. Valencia to the left of Dixon. Dixon takes a snap. The handoff. No, it's a fake. No, Dixon wants to go to the end zone, and he had Bennett Peterson wide open, and he hit Bennett right in the numbers, and Bennett let the ball go. Tri-Cities Prep receivers do not take care of the ball. This is part of the reason the Jaguar offense has had trouble all year. And most unfortunately, that stops the clock with 3:04 to go. And I'm telling you, Bennett Peterson had 6 paces on his defensive back. Blew. There was a play fake to Bubba, and the defensive back bit on that and bit it hard. Bennett was wide open. Dixon hit him exactly where he needed to. And instead, the pass falls incomplete. And now we have a 4th and 12. Valencia lines up to the left of Dixon. Dixon wants the pass. He's looking right now. He's fading right. This time he has Mitchell. Jacob Amato drives in that pass and that, and he strides in for the 20-yard touchdown. Harlan gets it to Jacob Amato for 20 yards and 6. I have been critical of Jaguar receivers all year long. I cannot be critical of Jacob Amato. He's blown exactly one pass all year long. That one was definitely not one. And with under 3 minutes to go, the Jaguars have opened up a 13-6 lead, and Jones is going to try and make it an 8-point lead. Baker gets the ball down. Jones kicks the ball up. And that is good. And with 2:58 to go in the game, the Jaguars are up 14-6. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 KHSS.
Fall is now here, which means the weather's caught somewhere between winter and summer. But even as temperatures change outside, your comfort doesn't have to, because a new Lennox heating and cooling system from Campbell & Company preserves your comfort all year long. Right now, you can enjoy a rebate of up to $1,700 with the purchase of a qualifying new Lennox heating and cooling system. Go to TrustCampbell.com for details. Campbell & Company, trusted home comfort solutions for over 30 years.
Ideal Jewelry and Boutique in Richland carries boutique items such as clothing, purses, scarves, hats, jewelry, and more. Owner Tammy Davenport has designed many of the jewelry pieces herself, making them unique and one-of-a-kind, yet affordable. They also have a beautiful collection of handmade rosaries that you have to hold in your hand to fully appreciate. And 100% of the rosary proceeds goes to KHSS Catholic Radio. Visit Ideal Jewelry and Boutique at 1950 Keene Road, Q1, Richland, or call 366-1873.
This is KHSS, Walla Walla.
2:58 to go here in the game. It's greatest call letters in the history of broadcast journalism, emphasizing the fact that with 2:58 to go, your Jaguars are leading Wilbur Creston 14-6. Can they hang on and break a 9-game losing streak? Jones blasts the ball from the 40 and drives the return man back to the 4. He fumbles it because they were fighting over who was going to take it. That was Odegaard, who finally does gather it in. He ran into his fellow return man, Jason Townsend, dropped the ball for a minute, and then managed to gather it back in. But returns it to the 19-yard line, and with 2 minutes 50 seconds to go, the Jaguars had 81 yards to guard, not prevent defense. For the bulk of possessions this game, they have held Wilbur Creston to 3 and out. They really need to do that here. So it's up to the Jaguar defense, which has really only made 2 mistakes all game. They're going to try and contain him once again. Yeager's going to be under center. He will have McDowell behind him and Odegaard and Cunningham at the wings. Yeager wheels around, wants to throw. Then he fires, and it is in and out of Odegaard's hands. Colton Tinnen with the coverage. Odegaard put two hands on it, just bounced straight out. You got Jaeger put that ball, frankly, where he needed to. And Odegaard was unable to hang on to it. Wilbur, not a passing team. With 2:45 to go, they have to pass largely because their running attack has not been able to bite off big chunks of yardage. So they have to pass, and they're not that good at it. Jaguar defense, though, cannot get overconfident. Jaeger approaches the line. He's going to come under center. He will once again have McDowell behind him. We'll have the two wingbacks, Odegaard and Cunningham again. Odegaard goes into motion. Jaeger wants to throw, and he's going to get sacked. Bennett Peterson with the first contact, and then Jacob Amato followed up, and the two of them level Jaeger inside the 10-yard line. They're going to give him, I thought he went down about the 5, but they're going to give him to the 9. Credit Bennett Peterson with a 10-yard sack. And it is going to be 3rd and 20 for Wilbur inside their 10-yard line. The Jaguar defense cannot get complacent here. This arguably for them is the play of the game, if not the season, in playing for pride. They've got to stop Wilbur here. Jaeger this time is going to go in shotgun. He'll have McDowell behind him. He has two wide receivers split wide to either side. Jaeger wants to throw. Throws over the middle. He's got Odegaard, but he's going to get inside the 15-yard line. He gets dragged down by Gavin Baker and Colin Dixon. And they don't even get back to the original line of scrimmage. They need to get to the 29-yard line. This is going to be 4th down and 13. Jaeger from shotgun. He's looking left, and now he's in trouble, and he's going to go down. Fumbles the ball. Fumbles the ball. The ball got recovered by McDowell for Wilbur, but the ball, this is going to be a Jaguar ball on the Wilbur 10-yard line. All of a sudden, with 6 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, you are seeing a Jaguar team that we have not seen all season. The defense is playing with fire. The offense is clicking on all cylinders. And suddenly, the Jaguars have a first and goal from the Wilbur 10 with a possibility of actually going up 2 touchdowns. Dixon is going to be in shotgun. He will have Valencia next to him on the left. Peterson's on the near sideline. Jones is on the far sideline. And we're going to have a flag before we even get started. Somebody has too many men on the field. And I suspect it's the Nope. Illegal formation against Wilbur, and McDowell is going to come charging off the sideline, and the Jaguars now are going to have possession, first and goal from the Wilbur 5. This is going to be one of the shortest marches, if the Jaguars punch it in, that they've had in years. Dixon has Valencia next to him. The handoff is to Valencia. He wants to run off left tackle. He gets down to the 1 all the way. No, they're going to say he's down inside the 1-yard line. I thought he fell forward and got all the way through, but he didn't quite make it. But you're going to call that a 4-yard gain, and it's 2nd and goal from inside the 1. And the referee is telling that Wilbur wants to take a timeout. So with 1:19 to go, the Jaguars knocking on the door again. And they're leading Wilbur 14-6. We'll be back with the end. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
If you have a family, you'll eventually need a good lawyer who is skilled at family law. Since 1976, Quattle Law Offices have specialized in all areas of family law, including child custody and support, adoptions, divorce, wills and estates, property divisions, and complex litigation. Pat Quattle was one of the first women to practice law in the Tri-Cities and has been recognized for outstanding volunteer legal services in the Tri-Cities community. Call Quattle Law Offices today at 943-3331. That's 943-3331.
This is KHSS. Walla Walla.
1:22 to go here in the game, and I get to say something I haven't been able to say much all season. Jaguars leading 14-6. Furthermore, they have the ball, 2nd and goal inside the Wilbur 1-yard line. Dixon comes out in shotgun. He will have Valencia to the right of him, the usual one wide receiver split wide to either side. Dixon takes the snap, hand off to Valencia, and they're going to say he got in! one-yard ramble from Bubba Valencia, and the Jaguars have opened up a 20-6 lead over Wilbur Creston. I'm telling you what, the last 6 minutes of this fourth quarter has been nothing like we've seen from the Jaguars all season long. It's like all of a sudden you're seeing the team that you've got used to seeing for years, starting with that championship team, the team from the Joe Campbell years, and then the championship team from the class of 2010. Jones for the point after touchdown. Here comes the snap. There's the snap. Baker with the hold. Jones with the kick. And that is good. And with 1:17 to go, the Jaguars have opened a 21-6 lead. We'll be back with the rest of the fourth quarter. You are listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Prepare to have your car buy-in experience redimensioned. Joe Klein and McCurley Integrity Dealerships can get you the wheels of your dreams with a simple phone call. Whether new or used, whether it's for personal, business, or commercial use, and whether it's Chevy, Cadillac, Toyota, Honda, Subaru, Mazda, or Mercedes, give Joe Klein a chance to show you how easy it can be to buy a car through McCurley's fleet side. The money and time you'll save will astound you. Call Joe Klein today at 366-5159. That's 366-5159.
This is KHSS Walla Walla.
1:17 to go here in the game. Tail of the tape for the fourth quarter. Jaguars, 92 yards. Wilbur, 19. And that ought to tell you right there that there is a significant change. Uncle Mo, for once, is squatting with authority on the depleted Jaguar prep sideline. If the I said the Jaguar defense had to take care of business, and boy, did they ever. And then the Jaguar offense punched it in again, and Dan Whitsitt looks like he's going to get that goose egg wiped off the record. Hogan Jones' kickoff is going to be gathered in by Odegaard at the 5. He's to the 10, 15, trying to run down the right sideline, and he's going to get dragged down about the 25, 26-yard line. And Wilbur, not built for a comeback, has to march twice with less than 1 minute 10 seconds to go. They are going to start for this first possession if they can take care of things from the 26. But it, again, their offense not really built for the comeback. So the Jaguar defense may just keep taking care of business, and they can wipe that goose egg off the record. Jaeger comes out under center. He will once again have McDowell behind him. Cunningham and Odegaard are the wingbacks. Jaeger looking back. He wants to throw. He's looking right. Now he tries to run forward as he thought the pocket was collapsing, but then he fell into the hug of Leo Schroeder. And Kenny Ireland. And he ends up getting back to the original line of scrimmage. But Leo was lead tackler there, said, nope, the pocket's collapsing. That means it's fully collapsing. Second and 10. Under 50 seconds to go. Jaeger now is going to be in shotgun with McDowell behind him. Two wide receivers split wide to the other side. McDowell quickly wants to go to the screen. He hits his tight end at the 25. He gets down to the 30. Past the 35 before I think he got out of bounds. That was Watkins. He got all the way down to the 37-yard line. That's a gain of 11. That ought to be enough for a Wilbur first down. 27 seconds to go. There's no way Wilbur can come back with little sideline outs like that. Two wide receivers split wide to the other side. McDowell next to Jaeger. Now Jaeger wants to throw. Can't find anyone. Has to tuck it down. Now he's running for his life. Now he throws, and he hits his man at the 50. That is That's Devin Makers. He runs it down to the prep 40. And then I believe we're going to have a Wilbur timeout because Meggers did not get out of bounds, and that's correct. So with 11 seconds to go, we'll go ahead and keep it right here. Jaeger, twice, he tries to throw from the pocket. The Wilbur line doesn't hold a pocket too terribly well. It tends to collapse pretty quickly. So twice, Jaeger's had to go running for his life. The first time he tried going up the middle. He got wrapped up by Leo Schroeder and assisted by Kenny Ireland, dropped for no gain. The second time, he ended up rolling to the left. and he's thinking about running, and then at the very last minute, he makes a throw across the middle, and he hits Meggers right about the 50-yard line. Pardon me, Meggers then takes it and runs it a further 10 yards upfield and gets it into prep territory at the 40-yard line. This is probably one of the better pass plays that Wilbur has pulled off all evening. But it is looking like a little bit too little too late, because with under 12 seconds to go and the Jaguars nursing, if you can call it that, a 15-point lead, it would take a miracle for the Jaguars to gag this one away. Jaeger's going to come out in shotgun again. This is a spread formation, two wide receivers set wide to either side. McDowell is going to be behind Jaeger. Jaeger wants to throw. He looks right now. He looks left. Now he's trying to go for it all, and he has a man, but it's overthrown. He wanted that had to be Odegaard down the left sideline, but Jaeger's pass had too much mustard on it. And there's now 6.7 seconds to go, and like I said, barring an earthquake act of God, an unprecedented meltdown that's never been seen before, the Jaguars are going to end a two-season losing streak here, probably after this play. Jaeger's in shotgun. They still have the spread, two wide receivers to either side. Jaeger wants to throw. He's looking left. Now the pocket collapses. He's under pursuit. Peterson looking to drag him down. Jaeger is now going to try and cut back in, and now he's going to get dragged down as the timer expires. And the Jaguars are going to end the season on a winning note. They beat Wilbur Creston 21-6. We'll be back with the scoring summary and the totals when we return. You're listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
Keeping your smile healthy is our number one goal at Gillette Family Dentistry. Since 1981, Dr. Gillette and his staff have been providing quality dental care in a friendly, caring atmosphere. Dr. Gillette's general, cosmetic, and sports dentistry always have you, the patient, in mind. Gillette Family Dentistry is located across from Broadmoor Mall at 9221 Sandifer Parkway. Call 547-0730 to learn more about how we can help keep your smile healthy. That's 547-0730 for Gillette Family Dentistry.
In the mid-1990s, when Tri-Cities Prep was still but a dream for many, the great Monsignor Desmond Dillon had a vision for the school. He said that he wanted Tri-Cities Prep to be a place where students can come to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Since welcoming its first students in 1998, these words have been woven into the fabric of Tri-Cities Prep, reminding us that, first and foremost, Tri-Cities Prep is a Catholic high school, a community of faith. To learn more, visit tcprep.org. That's tcprep.org.
This portion of the broadcast brought to you by Roach and Bishop Law Offices, located in Pasco, providing over 50 years of quality service in the practice of personal injury law, DUI defense, family law, estate planning, and probate. Roach and Bishop Law Offices, proud sponsors of Jaguar Athletics.
Do you know someone outside our listening area who wants to hear the game? Now they can listen on the web at khssradio.com.
And we are back live here at Edgar Brown Stadium, where the Jaguars have snapped their 8-game losing streak for the season, their 9-game losing streak extending up to last season, where the crossover game against the Davenport Gorillas back at Chihuahua did not go the Jaguars' way as they lost that game 55-14. And then they spent an entire season in futility here until Wilbur came in and they actually scored in the fourth quarter to take another lead on the Jaguars, and then all of a sudden, it was like the Jaguars were slapped awake. They almost literally shut out Wilbur for nothing for the remainder of the fourth quarter. They scored 3 unanswered touchdowns, and they are going to go into the offseason arguably winners, because the last game of the season, they win. They beat the Wilbur Creston Wildcats 21-6. Here's your possession and scoring summary for the second half. Wilbur came out to open the second half. They took the ball on the 30-yard line, proceeded on a 24-yard march. I want to make sure I get this right. Yeah, 24-yard march, and they end up punting. Jaguars take the ball over on their 24. They go on a 12-yard march. They punt. Wilbur Creston takes the ball over on their 34 after the punt. They go in reverse. They lose 5 yards, end up turning the ball over on downs. The Jaguars, they take over on their 39. They only go 3 yards. They turn the ball over on downs. Then Wilbur proceeds to go on probably their first real march of the game. They take over on their own 47-yard line, and they march down to the Prep 19-yard line to end the third quarter. It was an ugly third quarter. Wilbur had 53 total yards, and Prep had 15. And then for their first play from scrimmage, Yeager hits Cunningham for a 19-yard touchdown. The point after touchdown attempt was meant for Odegaard. That failed, but Wilbur takes the lead at 6-0 with the opening play of the third quarter. And then things suddenly change. On the kickoff, got returned to the 39-yard line. Nate Dottori, after some confusion, picked up the short kickoff and gathered it into the 39. First play from scrimmage, Mario Valencia from the 39 to the Wilbur 22, a 39-yard run, and suddenly it's like the Jaguar offense woke up. They slowly, methodically marched their way those last 22 yards until they got down to the 2-yard line. They were facing a 4th-and-2. Gavin Baker comes under center, and with a quarterback sneak, runs it in. And then the Jones point after touchdown gives the Jaguars one of their, probably only their second fourth quarter lead of the entire season. Next possession, Jones drills the ball deep. It gets returned to the 20, but then gets shoved back because of penalty. And here come the Jaguars. It's the beginning of the season, a 1-8. They're coming over like a bunch of kids. They cannot wait to come sing to the crowd. At any rate, it was a reverse. They did a double reverse and the kickoff return. That fooled no one. Got tackled inside the 10-yard line. Holding penalty brings it back to the 4. Yeager from the second play from scrimmage throws an interception down to the 30-yard line. That was Cole Hyatt. He gathers the ball in at the 31-yard line. The Jaguars then march 31 yards and cap it with a 20-yard touchdown pass from Colin Dixon to Jacob Magnus-Amato. And again, the Jones point after touchdown is good. The following kickoff, the Wildcats return the ball to the 19. They go back to the 9, get up to the 16, and then they fumble the ball on fourth down, and the Jaguars actually recover after a penalty on the Wilbur 5-yard line. Two plays later, Bubba Valencia runs it in from 1 yard out, and Jones hits the point after touchdown, and suddenly the Jaguars are up 21-6, and they are comfortably in control. Final possession of the game, Wilbur manages to march down to the Prep 30, but they started that possession with less than 50 seconds to go. And the Jaguars hold them to the 30, and they are going to leave Edgar Brown this evening winners. It's difficult to describe the scene, or perhaps it's not so difficult. It's amazingly fun to watch a 1-8 team having beaten what is also now a 1-8 team. They are going ape with the students down here on the Crawford track here on the grounds of Edgar Brown Stadium. A great way to end an otherwise exceedingly difficult season. Congratulations to the Prep offense, who finally got on track there in the fourth quarter, and the Prep defense, who took care of business virtually the entire game, leaving themselves an opportunity to finally come away winners after this otherwise very long 2015 campaign. That'll be it as far as football is concerned for Prep Athletics. KHSS is going to be taking a month off from doing any Prep Athletics, but we urge you to tune in on December 5th when basketball will start. We will start with women's non-league basketball on December 5th. I believe that first game is probably going to be at 6 o'clock in the evening. To be perfectly honest, I cannot remember who we're playing. But tune in to KHSS for all the details with regards to basketball. And keep paying attention to Prep Athletics. Cross country is competing, I believe, at state tomorrow. And also, you have got the women's volleyball team who is vying for a number one seed to state tomorrow at Asotin. So Prep Athletics, while football may be done, they certainly can be rooted on. And congratulations to Dan Whitson and his boys for finally getting off the schneid and getting their first win since this time last year here at Edgar Brown. The Jaguars walk off the field winners to end the season. They beat Wilbur Creston 21-6, and that'll be all from Edgar Brown. You've been listening to Jaguar Football on 100.7 FM KHSS.
We hope you've enjoyed this broadcast of Tri-Cities Prep Jaguars Sports Action on 100.7 FM KHSS. We now return you to our regularly scheduled programming.